Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Look at you!
All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Gary Hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, he was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it is time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Hey, hello. Good morning, everybody. This is Brian Hammer Jackson. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. We are global. Wasn't going to come on today because it's a holiday, but sometimes I'll see something in the news that just pisses me off. And that's why I'm on, because I have something to say. You know, diversity is bullshit. That's the title of the show. And it is. And that's what we're going to talk about. It's going to be a short show today. I got company coming over and stuff, so I'm going to see if I can fit in 3 hours of show into maybe 1 hour and a half, maybe. You may ask, as a black man like I am, I got references. You see me, you call the cops, and they'll probably shoot me. That's my qualifications as a black guy. I'm a black guy. And you may wonder why a black guy would be upset about this diversity bullshit. And I'll tell you, what got me upset is there was a friend of mine, and I do call him a friend. He has a problem. He's an actor. He won an Oscar. But he has a problem. He has a problem with diversity. And I don't blame him one bit. It's Richard Dreyfuss. Apparently there's some new rules that the actors have to meet to get the Best Picture Award. All in the name of diversity. And he's pissed. And he has every right to be pissed. He has every right to be pissed, and I can't find him, son of a bitch. But I did read the article. And so you're saying that being diverse, being diverse is hampering a lot of people because other people are allowing certain people to get in. All right, now listen, I'm going to talk to you straight. I mean, this goes back to, now you can claim women's rights could be a diversity. We allow women to wear pants. We allow women to vote. Now, I'm not talking about civil rights here because they should. I'm not talking about segregation either because it's wrong that a person cannot do things or go places or date people. Not talking about that. Not talking about that at all. What I'm talking about, that you're bending over backwards, putting some anal ease in your butthole, and getting rammed day by day. Because this is the shit that I'm talking about. Let me tell you something. My father, the genius, who moved us from Compton to a white area on the beach. There was nobody looking like us. Once in a while, you get a white guy with an afro, but I don't know what's going on with that. I have no idea. That's some personal issues that I don't even want to get into. But let me tell you something. We didn't come to the beach on an affirmative action program, so I had to go to a white school, sea of white, like clouds. And there's only a couple of black people in my family made up most of the diversity in that school. They did not give me a pass. There was grades that you get, A, B, C, D, F. That was it. They didn't give the black guy an F plus or maybe a B for effort because he showed up. I went head to head with the white kids, and a lot of times I won. But I didn't get no pass. They did not do anything. I had to work hard. There was nothing difference between me and the white kids except that I was black and beautiful, and they were okay. And maybe I have a bigger penis than most. Anywho, let's go back into what we're talking about here. Let's go back to what we're really talking about here. And we're getting into the transgenders, we're getting into the LGBTQs, we're getting into a lot of other areas that because of the cause, because of the diversity cause. And it's hurting a lot of other people. And sometimes you have to wonder, what the fuck are we doing in the name of diversity? And I'm going to pull that up. I wish I could find Richard Dreyfuss, and I'll find him later, but I got it here. The new rules for the Oscar nomination. Remember the Oscars? Remember it was a backlash 2 or 3 years ago that there was not enough black winners, there wasn't enough black films, there wasn't enough black categories or whatever, voting. You remember that? What happened about just putting in your film? I don't think anybody on the Oscar panel saying that I'm not going to vote for you because you're black. See, I think that's a myth. Maybe I'm in the wrong world, but I think that's a myth. It's the film that you submitted. If your film is good, it's in. And if you're going to allow that curve, because we need more diversity on the board, including women, and we need more diversity on the board, and then there was a year after that, it seemed like everything was a sea of black. Black directors, black this, black that, black whatever. And it was like, come on now, some of these films stink. But in the name of diversity, they're in. And when we do that, if whatever happens, I submitted my film, and they didn't look at me as I was a black guy. They looked at my work, which I'm supposed to look at my work. And I have enough faith in society that if you put in good work, you get rewarded, not because of your skin or your color, not because of your sex or you wear a dress and you got a penis. I think diversity, people can argue on the other side, diversity is like affirmative action and we needed more people. Let me tell you another story. If I had a medical condition, and you can ask yourself that, if you had a medical condition and they said to you, well, we have this other doctor, he's a white doctor, and he went to Yale, he went to Harvard, or you can have this other doctor from Inglewood, and he's here on an affirmative action program because we need to be more diverse. you would make your decision. I don't want the guy in the class who had lower grades, but then they pushed him through, and this can go with affirmative action if you want to. And we can go with the fire department when you have women who you want to make it more diverse, that there's a woman who's 5'5", and she weighs 110 pounds, and she has to climb a ladder, and there's a guy like me who's 6 foot tall and who weighs 253. Can she put him on her shoulder and bring him down? And you could do the same thing with police work too. That they lower the scores for women so they can get into the academy. But is that fair, or is that a danger to society? You pick. You decide. Because it's true. So are we allowing a woman who, and I'm not bashing women, just stay with me for a minute. Will we allow a woman who's 5'5", weighs maybe 102 pounds, and she has less physical training, but she can get in because we need more diversity? Or maybe same thing with a cop, if you're backed up and she got in with a lesser score because in the name of diversity. Because pretty soon, if we do with this affirmative acting thing, and I'm not bashing no one, but if you get a transgender in there in a cop uniform, maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's your affirmative action. It's a chick, but yet has strength of a man. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe the transgender should replace women as a fireman and as a law enforcement officer, because they could still do the requirements. The Oscars, here we go. The Oscars have a new rule for Best Picture, and they explain it. And it goes right here. The Oscars are rounding the corner towards its 100th birthday. Who cares? They have shifted the rules to rename categories and accommodate the pandemic. Who cares? So now they're doing little things. They're toying with the Best Popular Picture. And the membership guidelines change in order to deal with its diversity problem. See, they have diversity problems. I don't know what a diversity problem is, but it seems like the Oscar has diversity problems. And because of the diversity problems, the Oscars has a boycott. Because the Academy has changed its membership rules to deal with diversity problems. You be the judge. We're talking film here. We're not talking about life surgery. We're talking film. So now they're being boycotted. Same thing with Budweiser. Google it. I don't have time to tell you about that. Because of the Budweiser people who are welcoming the transgender, and they had a transgender as a mouthpiece. I can't even think of it. And now they're being boycotted from the regular people as well as they should. Because I think transgenders drink beer as well as anybody else, but you don't really have to change the rules to say, hey, look at us. We like everyone. Your beer will taste just as good in my mouth as a white man's mouth or as a transgender mouth. Shut up. It says the lifetime Oscar voting rights for Academy members are no longer a guarantee. The Academy of Motion Pictures and Arts, and that's who they are, they're making changes to the membership in hope of diversifying both its members and the annual Oscar nominees. So they're going to change it. Now, don't be fooled by this bullshit. Don't be fooled by this bullshit. And there's another bullshit. I'm going to talk about this Juneteenth bullshit, too. And if you fall into the Juneteenth bullshit, you're just as much as a moron as the other people who are pushing this Juneteenth. You're pulling the wool over your eyes. It's okay. I understand. If you're going to take it as I work and I get paid and I get a day off, okay, cool. I'm with you. But if you really listen to the TV and you listen to these idiots talking about it, some kind of evolution of black people, you're wrong, and stop the nonsense. I'll get into that later. So you get more reason to hate me. That's what I do. That's what I do. Hate is my friend. Getting back to this. It says this, if you read between the lines, essentially, what I'm trying to say is the Oscars, don't be fooled, because the ratings are low. The ratings are low. Nobody cares anymore. They're having a hard time keeping an audience, so they have to change something. So they're going to put something up here that'll make it more diverse. And so they're going to put in another category. Most popular picture by popularity. Shut up. That's what's really going on here. And it says here, and this should offend you because it should offend everybody, if you read between the lines of essentially everything written about the Oscars so white, they even had a hashtag, Oscars so white. Oscars so white. Now, who wrote that hashtag? Oscars so white. Does it really matter if they're black or white, Hispanic or whatever? A good film is a good film. We're not judging the film by the people who make them. We're judging the film by its product. Going back to when I was a kid in school, and there were nothing but white people there. There were white people sitting next to me, white people sitting beside me, white, even a white teacher and everything. But they didn't give me a curve. They didn't say, the assignments are due the 20th. But Brian, you could do the assignment anytime you want to before the school year ends, okay? Okay, here you go. Here's your number two pencil. And in fact, Brian, you don't even have to come to school. As long as you sign this paper, we can say that we're diverse and everything, and we made a quota, and here's your diploma. It's the first day of school. Oh, don't worry about it. We got you. We got to be more diverse. I mean, what could go wrong? We got two almost 80-year-old people running for president of the United States. They usually should be in a home, but they're going to be the most powerful men in the world. Well, yay for diversity, yay for the seniors. Los Angeles Times, they concluded that the average Academy Award member is 63, old and white man. And what? You can't have a 63-year-old white man? Now what are we doing? We're going after the 63-year-old white man because he cannot make a decision on a film, or he made a decision on a film because of the black people who have done it? Last time I checked in the 70s, there was a person named Maya Haley. You might know her husband as Jack Haley. I think it was Jack Haley. You might know a mini series called Roots. Went off the charts. People loved it because it was a good story. They didn't like it because a black man wrote a book and they decided to write a black story. It was not a black story. If you ask, and if anybody thinks that Roots was a black story, is a moron. Roots was about slavery. White people were in it, too. If white people were not in it, then I would say, you know, then it's a boring documentary, a guy named Chicken George. My reasoning is they didn't let Roots slide and come on national TV for a miniseries because the guy was black. And they said, let's just put this story up so we have more diversity. Diversity can hurt you in the arts, social media, where you shop, how you drive. And it's stupid. And I'll get to that Juneteenth bullshit too. Where's that stupid Juneteenth? Stupid. You must be a moron if you believe that book. Oh. I didn't see the board. Hello, Melissa.
Oh no, this is Joshua.
Joshua. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. You're 217. Hey, Josh, been a long time. Wait a minute. Hello, Melissa.
Well,
Melissa.
Hello, Melissa. I'm here to help you already. It was
Thank
Alex
you.
Haley. Alex.
Melissa, say everything you're going to say, and then push number one when you want me to tap in.
No, go ahead. That's all I wanted to say.
Melissa, thank you so much. You're actually right. Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
It was that.
Go ahead, Josh.
Melissa,
you remember Josh.
You remember Josh.
Let's talk. Yeah.
That guy that's right all the time, I know. Oh, what is
all right, Josh.
Yeah.
No, I'm just messing with you.
All right, Josh, let me hear you. You have a comment on this subject about diversity is bullshit?
Obviously, that's ridiculous.
What? That is bullshit?
I was more hoping to hop into the Juneteenth thing because that was actually really comical to me.
I'm coming to that.
It's actually a national holiday.
We're celebrating it.
I'm coming to that because that's even part of it.
I didn't even know there was such a thing until Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know.
It's the 19th? June 19th is Juneteenth.
Yeah, it's a federal holiday.
We're in it right now. We are.
We're in it right now. You're right, Josh. We're in it right now. But, okay, well, okay, I explained diversity. I'll go back to it because Josh is here and he wants to talk about Juneteenth. And
yes.
I know, and Melissa wants to know more information about Juneteenth, and then I'll get back to diversity. Okay, Josh, tell me your opinion on Juneteenth, and then I'll explain to everybody what is Juneteenth. Here you go, buddy.
All right. So the whole concept of Juneteenth is that slavery was abolished in 1862, and they didn't find out in Galveston. I'm sorry, ma'am. Oh, she's agreeing with me. Now, in Galveston, Texas, June 19th, 1865, is when the last slave was.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. No, if I'm being corrected, please hit me.
No,
I'm so
cantankerous. 2.5-year-old. Come on, stop. Stop.
You're telling me a young buck is causing trouble? No way.
He is. Yes, come here. Come on. All right, I'm going to mute so you guys can talk. Okay.
Thank you, ma'am. But no, the concept of Juneteenth is that in 1865, down in Galveston, Texas, the last slave heard that they were free. And that's adorable because amongst the Native American tribes that still owned slaves, they didn't release their slaves until a year later. So it blows my mind that we're celebrating this as the actual end of slavery in America. Because it still existed for like at least another 6 months or 8 months or I don't know. I don't know when it actually ended. Do you? Well, what was the last American slave not to be a slave?
Brian will be right back.
Okay. Now, but that's the thing about all this stuff is that the concept of this nonsense is that, you know, everybody's a victim. You know, make sure that you wave your appropriate flags for your feelings, your emotions, not your knowledge. You should learn stuff, you know? Please cut me off if I'm wrong at any point, ma'am. Just, yeah. This is a bunch of nonsense. The end of slavery in America isn't the end of slavery. There are more slaves in the world today than there ever were when we ended in America. So, yeah, I don't know. Probably focus on those other slaves. Please tell me he's coming back soon, because I'm not trying to take over a show or anything. You're on the line. Can't have dead air. So I started pointing out the countries that have the most slaves. India has the most slaves on the planet. They're brown. No. Nobody's going to give me assist. I would like an alley-oop, but I know I'm not going to get that. People have been terrible throughout history, no matter what their skin color was. And I think that the only way for people in multicultural and multi-skin color countries to come together is to acknowledge the fact that you probably come from somebody who was terrible too. So, yeah, acknowledge that you came from somebody terrible. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, let's move forward and do something right for each other. I'm sorry. Does that make sense, ma'am?
Yeah. Great sense. Yep.
Yeah. Just do the right thing. Just don't be terrible.
Yeah.
We have comfort now. You know, we don't have to be terrible towards each other.
Sure, I agree.
Hey, guys. I'm back.
Oh, he's back. Oh my gosh. I was holding my breath.
Yeah, right. No, thank you, Melissa, and thank you, Josh.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I'm gonna catch my breath. But go ahead.
Yeah.
You're talking about June 10th.
You were out there with that damn vape pen again, weren't you?
No. Melissa. No.
Sorry.
All right. No, what I'm saying is, whatever Josh says, and do you agree, Melissa, whatever he said?
Yeah.
But do you guys think, I mean, as white people, as I'm talking, do you think this is bullshit? Let's be honest.
Yes.
This is a
obviously
safe zone.
I didn't really give it a lot of thought.
Really?
No.
I mean, I'm hearing these people on TV, like, one guy said, like he's a professor, he was saying, oh, this is monumental. People can now understand slavery. I'm going, what? What? I said, are you kidding me? June 10th, here's how they explained it. And I'm sure Josh did. I heard part of it, and he did it quite well. Basically, I could read all about it, the bullshit, but Josh said it right. Here's what it is. There's a group of people in Texas.
Galveston.
They had no idea that they were free. And it took 2 years. And the reason how they found out that they were free was a bunch of Union soldiers put flyers on the churches, the black churches, and let them know that they're free. That's how they found out. That's how they found out.
That's not what happened, Josh.
Please. Josh, I'm going to mute you. Josh, tell us how. No, that is how it happened. But let's hear your version of it, Josh.
Okay, no. There are three different things that happened. And I think people would appreciate it most if it was actually chronologically accurate. In 1882, that's when he actually abolished slavery, Lincoln. And then the end of the Civil War in May of 1865 is when it was enforced all over the place. And the whole concept of June 19, 1865, was when I forgot a guy's name, but he went down to Galveston, Texas.
It was
and
Bert.
He told the slaves there. I'm sorry?
You said you forgot the guy's name. His name was Bert.
Okay, I believe you.
No, okay.
He went down there and he said, you're free. But the reality of the situation is that June 19th, 1865 wasn't the last time that a slave was freed on American soil, because the Native Americans had slaves. And I don't know if you guys want to write this down and listen to it after the show, but that actor Don Cheadle, the guy who played Iron Man's
right-hand
man,
right.
Yeah, he went and did a whole deep dive into his history, and he found out that his great-grandfather was a slave of the Chickasaw, and they had to come to an agreement with the American military or the American government a year later. So it didn't end at June 19th. So it just that blows my mind. It blows my mind that they're celebrating this day, the last day that somebody heard about it in Texas.
Yeah, but it's the same. Exactly. They had a pass. It's the 13th Amendment that they had. It was a loophole in the 13th Amendment, and they closed that down. Lincoln closed that down, prohibiting slavery and servitude in all the states. But Josh hit the nail on the head, man. And I know a lot of people are going to not say anything. I mean, this is one of those topics, like, if you're white, it's like, oh, just don't say anything. Let's just look the other way. Let's not disturb the tribes. You know, we don't need that, because as soon as you object to that, like Josh did, you will be called a what? It starts with an R. And it shuts the conversation down. This is the stupidest thing, the bogus. This is a scam on America this June 10th. You are celebrating slavery that went on 2 years later, and these people did not know they were free. This is what you're celebrating. You're celebrating that they've been enslaved for 2 years? Now, this is where I say back pay is involved. I mean, if you should have said, okay, not make this a holiday, but they deserve some back pay. They worked 2 years prior to weekends and holidays, and they didn't get paid. This is where it comes in. Reparations comes in, and I'm not for reparations, but this is where it might come in.
And do you know why you're wrong?
I'm sorry?
Do you know why you're wrong?
Oh, I'm sure you'll tell me, Joshua.
Yeah. You brought me in here, and I brought my pink thing with me.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
The offer at the solution of the end of slavery, what was that, 40 acres and a mule, and they failed to hold that
right.
up. Obviously,
right.
That's ridiculous. They were never gonna. Okay, but who was in government when that happened? Yeah, I'm not gonna go into that. I'm saying that it was obvious that a wrong has been done and that people should be able to have some kind of reparations. You know,
that's
you've been wronged.
Said.
You're
I
know,
I
but we're okay, but what this isn't this when did this end? 1866.
1866.
No.
Yes.
Slavery did not exist in 19 anything.
I know that. I went to public school. I was checking you. But
I know, and you're really good at reading too.
It was 1860. Let me look at it. 1863 technically is when slavery ended. 1863. A year later.
No, that's when it was abolished. That's not when it ended. It was abolished by the federal government.
Well, the Civil War began 1861. The Congress passed the Confiscation Act of 1862, which authorized Union troops to seize Confederate property, including enslaved people, in 1862.
Yes.
The act also allowed the Union Army to recruit black soldiers months later in 1863.
Yes. I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying right now.
I thought
yes.
you were.
The abolishment of slavery was 1862. That's when he abolished
right.
it. You cannot own a
right.
slave. If you own a slave, there is a problem here because
yeah.
now you're going against the federal government.
Exactly.
Yes. And that's where everything went terrible. And that's when everything ramped up in violence in the American Civil War. And the most ridiculous – and no, I'm not saying it's ridiculous because it's the most evil, but it was the most condemning presidential decree ever to be on American shore. He said that for every single black man that you slaughter, that you end, that's working for the Union – we're going to kill one of your officers. Oh, Abraham Lincoln was a menace. But I'm saying, right man for the right time.
But he was. Lincoln was
yeah,
the right
man for the right time. I know,
right.
but we don't appreciate that anymore. Abraham Lincoln and the American Civil War. The guy, who was the military leader, or who was the president, I'm sorry, prime minister, during World War II?
Mm.
In England.
I don't know. Winston Churchill. When was it? 19 what?
Churchill.
Winston.
Yeah, it was Churchill.
Yes.
Was
he
it
was
Churchill?
Now, in World War One, he was terrible because
you,
he
Melissa.
Sent all of those innocent men up to die into the Black Sea.
Yeah.
That was so terrible. He shouldn't have done that. But in World War II,
well,
that man was a monster. Yeah, he was a monster.
Josh, I'm not going to argue with Josh. You remember his favorite speech, but I'm not going to go into Churchill's famous speech. That probably won the war. But anyway, but he did send a lot of his men to die. He did. He really
did. World War One, yes, sir.
Yes, he really did. You know, okay, here's how this kind of started. I'm reading a little bit. This is not coming from me. I'm not a smart guy, so I'm not going to pretend this is coming from me, the knowledge that I have. But it says the Juneteenth, it symbolizes hope that was quickly squashed. You know, according to Gates, it was a newly free black man. Nothing smelled. The smell of a newly free black man. It smells like a new car. You must be newly free.
What the fuck is a newly free black man smell like? Okay, if that man does not smell like a pine tree,
he smells
know.
Newly and free. Ah, that guy smells so freeness. According to Gates, newly freed black women and men rallied around Juneteenth in the first year it was recognized, transforming it from a day of unheeded military orders into their own annual right. I'm sorry, I can't go any further. This is the most insane thing.
They didn't. Didn't celebrate that nonsense in Chickasaw Nation and like five other American Native nations. No, they're doing that where they were being paid money. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It is. This is almost going to equal, and I'm going to get a lot of hate on this. This is almost the same level as Kwanzaa, which almost rips off the Jewish holidays.
Hey, you know, I celebrate Kwanzaa. I don't even know what it means.
You celebrate Kwanzaa. Jesus. Okay. I can see you there, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Why do I see you in blackface with eight candles?
All I need is a tashiki, right? That's the whole game? I wear a tashiki?
That's it. Oh, you know about the tashiki.
Yeah.
Okay. Not bad.
I've been to Africa like 8 times in my life, so yeah, I know what a tashiki
really?
Is.
You
know?
Have you
yes,
really?
Yes, sir.
Joshua.
Yes.
You've been at what part of Africa have you been to? Compton.
I've been
Eagle
into
West,
Nigeria
what part?
5 times, Tunisia 3 times.
Really? I'm impressed. Were you in the military?
No.
Okay, how did you get to Africa? Are you a very rich man that you get to travel?
No,
and...
I just started going to Africa, and I found out that Nigerians are my favorite Africans.
What kind of racist remark is that?
It's not
moving
racist.
On.
I'm a racist. Yeah, no, I like this country better than this other country. They all have the same skin color. Yeah, no, that's racist. That's astonishing.
Jesus. They're my favorite kind of black people. Those Nigerians, they're good. They spell
movie
black.
Oh, fuck you. No. Oh, I didn't say that. I'm talking about
Here
countries,
go.
Guy. I guarantee
like
I don't. I don't have much respect for the Ethiopians because they'll kill me on sight.
Well, there might be good. You probably
That's
cause
true.
Them to get pissed off. But I hear what you're saying. I hear the religion. I hear the tribal rituals. And yeah, they would shrink your head and I would put you in my car in the rearview mirror. They would do it. I would
well,
honor you that way.
That's the Congo. You're talking about the Congo.
That's the Congo. Okay, I would still honor you that way and put you in a rearview mirror as a shrunken head. Let's see. So anyway, I can go on and on and on because this is bullshit, and Josh knows it's bullshit. Melissa, as much as you hear, and Melissa's usually independent, and she doesn't like to make waves, but I think deep down she would think, this is kind of dumb. I mean, there could be a lot of other people that we could recognize on this day, like Drew, Charles Drew, even Maya Angelou, somebody inspirational, somebody this, but really... 2 years of ignorance and they're finally free and we're going to celebrate that.
Can I throw something out
yeah.
there?
Sure. Sure.
Frederick Douglass. Why are we not celebrating?
Oh,
Frederick
yes.
Today?
Yes. Josh.
That man
yes.
is a legend.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we should be honoring these people who have moved us forward in society and they're great people. To come up with this is, you know what this is? It's like, okay, I'm a Democrat. I'm going to admit it. I'm a Democrat. And I think if you pull down
I'll
Biden's
make fun
pants.
Of you later. Go on.
Yeah, if you pull down Biden's pants and on his ass, it'll say made in blackness. You know, black people own Biden. And I think
made in America, that America that's misspelled.
Yeah, exactly.
you asked for that one.
Yeah, and you gave it to me. Thank you. He goes way overboard. Way overboard. He really does.
You mean when you said that if you can't determine whether or not you're going to vote for him or Trump, you're not black?
Yeah, he actually said it out loud. He actually said that out loud, didn't he? He actually said that out loud. I mean, I thank him for a lot of things he has done. Seriously, especially with people with senior citizens, and he's trying to kill debt loans from universities. I give him credit. I mean, look at the alternative. Look what we got here. The guy who says, mine, 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 and then there are secret documents on how to have a war with Iran. I mean, these are our choices, and they're not good choices. Something went wrong. Anyway, I'm not going to get on that. It's just something is
okay, I just wanted to make you aware of what you were saying there. No, I'm not going to say anything else about it. I just wanted to make you very cognizant of that situation.
Right. It's just something went. 602, please help me. 602, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson, Joshua, and the great Melissa. Good morning. Is this Pastor Don? Okay.
Hey, mic check, 1-2. 1-2. We're having real technical difficulties, but I am here, sir.
There you go.
I am here, my brother.
I can hear you, my brother. We're talking about black things, and I'm glad you're here. You must represent. You must represent Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. And we're talking because okay, because I am here, and we're here because of the holidays of Juneteenth. That's what we're here for.
Amen.
It's a holiday. Now, I'm against it, Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I'm against it.
Please, sir. I want to know why.
Okay, I'll tell you why. Because the reason we made this a holiday is because is a group of people. What was it, Galveston, Texas? I'm not quite sure where it was, but it's in Texas.
Yes, sir. No, it was Galveston, Texas. That was the last slave that was freed under the control of the American federal government.
Oh, he's right. Educated. We need that. Come on, let's get it.
He is.
Let's get it.
Oh, what do you mean we need that? I'm educated. I went to public school.
Oh, come on, man, but some certain topics you need somebody educated, like an actual expert in the room, and it's live radio.
No, nothing. If I say something that I don't know and I think it's something I know, then I'll tell you to do your own research. But no, that's actually something that they base this entire day on, is that there was slaves down in Galveston, Texas, and that the last slave heard that he was free. On June 19th, 1865.
Yeah, that's why they're celebrating it, because it took 2 years. They didn't get the notice that they were actually free. 2 years later, they got the notice that we're free. That's
why
we're
celebrating.
Are you
serious?
Yeah.
That's not, that's not what happened. Hold on. It was
abolished. What do you mean?
I'm just trying to make sure it's accurate. Oh, who cares about what happened?
It is accurate. It took 2 years.
It's not what happened.
Okay, please enlighten Mr. Pastor Don Jr. what really happened.
I got to hear this.
Okay.
I got to hear this.
If you want to hear it, I'm more than happy to explain. This guy over here. It's up to you, buddy. You guys can keep going, or I can
tell you. Well, here's the truth. It was, were still enslaved.
I don't know anything about it.
No. I'm going to let Josh say it after me so he could correct me. But in the long and the short of it is that it took 2 years to realize that they were free. They were still enslaved after 2 years of Lincoln saying, huh?
Three?
It was abolished in 1862 by Abraham Lincoln. The end of the war was in May of 1865. They had to send troops all over the place. And they ended up down at the lower, Google map it. Galveston is the southernmost point that's livable. And I'm not saying survivable, but livable in Texas. And they told the slaves there, hey, you guys are actually free. And they showed up in force so that nobody would be able to combat them. They were like, if you combat us, if you try to say that these are your slaves still, we will kill all of you. And so the last slave on June 19th, 1865, found out that he was free. But that didn't mean anything, because that's not the end of slavery in America, because they still had slaves on American Native territory. Are you guys familiar with that guy, Don Cheadle? He did
yeah,
a
that's the guy who made,
come on, man.
Yeah, he was Iron Man.
I can imagine Pastor Don Jr. as a child in school. Come on, man. Come on, let's get to the good.
I know. I'm just saying. He found out. He was so hardwired. He was trying to find out because his great grandfather was a slave in America, and he knew that. So he went to these people who do this deep dive research, and then you can find the video online. He found out that his grandfather was actually a slave a year after the fact under the Chickasaw Nation. So this whole idea of Juneteenth doesn't make any sense because slavery did not end. Even though the last person under American control said it out loud and that person found out that they were free, they were still on American soil. And they were still slaves until the next year. So that's all I'm saying. I'm more than happy to be quiet now. Come on, I thought someone was going to come in with something hot.
Now you know how hard it is. Now you know how hard it is to have a blog talk show, Josh. There
I used
you go.
To have one of these.
Did you really? What happened?
Yes, sir.
What
I stopped
happened?
Doing it.
Why?
I started getting into carpentry.
I see. I can't use any tools, so that's why I keep doing this. But we're going to give everybody a break, and we're going to talk about this guy, about diversity. We're going to go back to diversity. Now, listen to me. I don't know what more to say about the Juneteenth, and Josh did it eloquently, but the bottom line, I said it the short version, that this is not a holiday that we should rejoice from, or this is a holiday that moves us forward or that we could be so proud of. I think it's one of those token holidays that we'll give you. We'll give you this. I think this is a political holiday. I don't know if this came to being when Biden was in office. I don't know. Maybe it was before that, but I don't know. But it all boils down to what I said, and it boils down to what Josh says, is that we're celebrating, basically in a nutshell, you're celebrating a holiday about the last black people, the last slaves that are freed. That's basically it. These are the last slaves. These are the last enslaved people.
Nope. That's not what I said.
Oh, boy. You know what?
No.
I'm going to come over there, and I'm going to slap you. What are you talking about?
I accept that.
It's true. You know what? It is true. Josh, what are you not saying? Do you not agree that it was 2 years after?
Three.
What part do you not agree with?
The slavery was abolished from the Union.
Okay, okay. Right.
It was 3 years.
Okay.
The slavery was abolished in 1862 by Abraham Lincoln. The war didn't end until 1865, so that's 3 years. And it did not end for people under the control of several Native American nations until 1866. So slavery did not end in 1865 on June 19th. That's my whole problem. These people are delusional. They just say that, it ended, okay. It's like, no, it was abolished by a decree, by a lawful decree in 1862 by Abraham Lincoln. I'm more than happy to be fact-checked by anybody on that, but they didn't end even when they went down to Galveston. It was still happening until 1866 on Native American land. So I'll throw my hands up after that. And when people understand that that's actually what happened, that's the history, I'll be more than happy to be quiet.
Okay, thank you. No, thank you, Josh. And I think you are partly accurate. Thank you. On January 1st, 1980, Juneteenth became a Texas state holiday. This is after Representative Al Edwards put forth legislation in. Since the move, individual states began recognizing Juneteenth, and 48 states in Washington currently observes it. For more than a decade, Texas Representative Sheila Jackson Lee has introduced a resolution to recognize the historical significance of Juneteenth. So it wasn't Biden, but it was way before. So in 2020, Democrats introduced a bill to make the Juneteenth, oh, well, it might be on Biden's watch. Biden got elected, yeah. 2020, Democrats introduced a bill to make the Juneteenth a national holiday. But Senator Ron Johnson, he's a Republican, single-handedly blocked it on the grounds of America could not afford another day off for federal workers. But the legislation passed in both the Senate and the House and was signed into law by President Biden the day before the very first Juneteenth would be commemorated. I was right, as a federal holiday.
Biden, you are also wrong.
Oh.
I'm just messing with you, buddy.
Jeez. I was reading it. How could I be wrong? I'm reading the information.
Because after you read it, you said I was right.
I was right that Biden was the one who signed the legislation into law for a federal holiday.
I can't argue with that, but you're also very wrong.
I'm gonna get a group of black people to picket you.
No! Please do it in front of my business.
I will. That's all I have about June. I can't go any further. I really can't go any further than what we just said. There's not much to go further.
Because you
don't
have a lot of information.
What you do? Tell us about it then, because I ran out.
I already did that. How much more information do you need?
I don't need any more, because I don't need any more because I basically know what it is. And like you were saying, there's so many people like Frederick Douglass, like Charles Drew, Maya Angelou, so on and so forth. But we could be celebrating of inspiration.
Frederick Douglass. Why is that have a statue in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I'm surprised. And don't forget my good friend Jack Haley, who wrote Roots. Okay.
He admitted that he was lying.
Yeah, he did. And it was Alex Haley.
Yeah, that was
Alex Haley.
He's like, I wanted to find a way for black people to have some kind of, you know, unification under being oppressed. That's what he said. And nobody listened.
Who, Alex?
No, the guy who wrote Roots.
That's Alex Haley.
Yes, he admitted he lied, and he told people why he lied.
Well, it was a half admission, if I remember right, that he did kind
That's
of
not
used
what
a
happened.
Little bit. He used it a little poetic license.
No,
oh my god!
Throw me your email. I will be an a-hole. I'll just research this for a month and throw you like 500 pages. This guy was a liar. He was like, yeah, no, none of this ever happened. I've never experienced it. Yeah, I just wanted black people to feel oppressed so that we would all come together and feel like victims.
No.
That's what
he did not say that. He did not
yes,
say that.
Yes, he did. You think I won't find it? I understand I'm an idiot, but I'm not stupid. I won't find it. You want me to send it to you?
You know what? When you find it, you can read it on the air. How's that? How's that?
Oh, my God. Okay. But
all right.
If anybody punches me for using the N-word, I'm not okay with that.
I got connections with Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and he has connections, too. He knows somebody who knows somebody, so knows somebody because you said the N-word. You'll never use that word again, my friend.
No, you're telling me you can get a pass
if I needed it.
I don't know. I don't know if you're going to get a pass.
No, you can't pass that.
I'm just kidding. I've been around, I went to Nigeria like four times.
Yes, you're totally
I'm not
your favorite
worried about
Negro.
A pass.
Yeah, I'm going to send you to the Congo because I need a shrunken head in my rearview mirror just to remind me of you, a memory of you, Josh.
Why are you breaking my heart like this? What did I do to you?
here we go. So we're going to go back to diversity because it's almost the same thing. I mean, you really have to reach to make it the same thing. But so we finished June Kings, and
it's still happening right now.
Yeah, it's happening right now. The parades are going on. There's no history about, you know, what's funny about the parades. Usually you have a parade and there's a theme, and there's usually something. You know the Rose Parade.
You know how many people are getting shot in Chicago right now?
I know. I heard that. I heard
in
that,
in Baltimore?
Man.
In New York
yeah,
City?
In Philly, too. Philly, too.
Yeah. It, no, it blows your it, mind.
It does. And what's even more disturbing, I forgot where it is, was it the mayor or whatever, the black mayor or whatever, she says they're killing our babies and we have to take the guns away from our babies. Yeah, that's going to solve everything. That's going to solve everything.
No, the worst thing that I've ever heard was the mayor of Chicago, was his name Mike Scott. He was like, yeah, all these people keep dying, you know, we should probably take their guns away. Every single major city has ridiculous gun restriction laws, and they have
right.
the highest murder rates.
Yeah. Well, Chicago's been up there for quite a while, man. It has been up there quite a while. What's going on?
It's worse than terrible cities in other countries like Kabul and Iraq. Moroccan. Yeah, no, they don't care anymore. They don't care about
well,
the people.
Well, I don't know if
cities.
They don't care, but it is just... When we thought that we had a Democratic, who was he? The Democratic, he worked for the Democratic organization. I forgot who. Was it
Rahm Emanuel.
Tell me.
Emanuel.
Emanuel. Well, we thought that he was going to be the sheriff to clean up Chicago. You know, we thought he was going to be the man.
No, he was a mobster. He was actually a monster.
He was a monster. Why do you say he was a monster?
No, not monster, mobster. He was actually
a
gangster.
Oh, well, he had to work with, well, you know what? You're right. But he had to work with them. He was a mobster, and some of these people, you know, when you're in the DOG in the DA office, and you were a district attorney.
All right,
I just want
to point out that you're making excuses for an A-hole
right
now.
I am not. I am saying that
you are doing
people,
exactly that.
You work with people who turn against people to get witnesses, and then you get the big guys behind bars.
He never did that.
In...
Do you know how many black sites there are in Chicago right now?
No, I don't. I don't.
More than one. That's all you need to know. There are more than one places that people are being taken to be interrogated without any prosecution, any suspicion, and they're getting tortured. In Chicago right now. This is not new. This is old information. And it's still happening. Oh.
Well, I don't. Who is the governor of Chicago? I don't even know who the governor of Chicago is.
There's no governor of Chicago.
I mean,
there's a governor of Illinois.
I mean, governor of Illinois. Wait a minute. Give me a minute. Who's the governor of Illinois? Who's the governor of Illinois?
J.B. Pritzker.
Oh, is he? I haven't. Nobody knows who the governor of Illinois is. I don't
live
see
here.
This guy.
I do.
I don't see him holding a press conference. I don't see him saying that this is horrible and we got to do something.
Corrupt
really?
People only – no, no, no. See, this is a problem that people don't understand about having a single city run the entire state. I have nothing to do with the city of Chicago. I know how to hunt. I know how to clean water. I can grow my own crops if I need to. I know how to slaughter livestock. If the end of the world came tomorrow, there's some magic meteor that popped down and threw an EMP and hit – probably Canada, because they deserve it. But if everything went down, I'm going to be okay. Chicago has nothing. The people of Chicago, those city people, and I'm not excluding them. I'm not just saying Chicago. New Yorkers, Miami, L.A., all these idiots, all these city people, they're probably going to die. Because they don't know anything about survival outside of a city.
I don't know,
I'm
but it sounds like you're
not kidding about that.
You might be right, and it sounds like you're a fugitive, and I wish you luck when not getting caught.
I'm a fugitive.
No, Oh my!
I really called into the show to find out if you could get me across the border.
There's nothing to see around here.
I'm just saying it's astonishing how ridiculous we are these days.
Canadians, because Pat is usually here and she's from Canada.
No, Pat can't get in today. She's trying to get in.
Canada, they built all of their major population centers on the border of us. They should have probably just thrown the white flag up in 1812.
Yeah, they've got to live off of us, though. They can't help it.
No, the reason that they put those cities next to our border is for protection, because they are not actually tough.
No, they're pussies. I agree with you.
Yeah, no. No, we're in agreement with that, yeah.
Well,
I like this lady.
I know. We all do. We all do.
They used to be able to get codeine cough syrup and codeine, like, headache pills over the counter in Canada.
Really?
Kind of a good idea.
And
yeah.
Then what happened?
We had them over the counter here, too,
know.
Until...
No,
when
not,
did I
not
put...
codeine pills. No.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay.
No. You could just, like, my mother had a friend who used to go to Canada. She had dual citizenship, of course, being the pussy that she is. And she'd travel abroad as a Canadian. What a wimp, right? But lived here.
Oh, she's trying to make me feel like an asshole right now. Is that what she's doing?
No, I'm telling you the truth. That's seriously how I feel. But lived here full time.
Hold on. Do you feel like I'm an asshole? You feel like your mom's a pussy for going back to her home country for aid?
No. It was a friend of my mother's, but it was dual citizenship she had. But she would travel abroad, like say she went to Turkey after 9/11. What a smart move. But anyway, she traveled as a Canadian, but she would bring back codeine cough syrup and the pills, you know, codeine pills from Canada. And they were over-the-counter. You don't need a prescription. They can knock a headache out pretty quick, though, all the time.
They did.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
You just tell me your friend's mother was a drug dealer? I'm just messing.
No,
I don't. I'm sorry. I'm not.
I bring back a couple of bottles. No.
Just,
it was like an ounce-sized bottle. You know, it wasn't that much. But it's good stuff to have. I'm telling you. But anyway,
I agree with you. I remember that cough medicine, Melissa? There was a cough medicine that had a lot of codeine in it, and I forgot what it was. So I love that.
That'll knock
a
cough out like nobody's business.
And they used to get that over the counter. Yeah. It was great. It had like 80% alcohol, 10% codeine.
That's the good stuff, yeah.
Good stuff.
What was her name?
Melissa's talking.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so, okay, here's my problem with that situation. Why didn't she take a copious amount of that and run for prime minister? Because Justin Trudeau is a goddamn...
That would have been a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even vote for her, and I would support her.
Yep. Sorry, guys. I'll mute.
No, you're all good. No, baby's crying. There are babies?
What?
Did we lose the host?
Yeah. No, we're
I'm
here.
Always listening.
He's
I'm here. Always listening.
Always
there.
He's in the cavern looking down on you from a peak.
Yeah, I'm always watching. What we're going
this
to do.
This man is a gargoyle.
Yeah, I'm a gargoyle. Yes, I am there. I'm going to. What's that, Melissa? I can barely hear you, kiddo.
Is Pastor Don still here? Okay.
Yeah, he's here.
Pastor Don, there are a bunch of kids in your background. Will you want to come get one?
You gonna add in my kids? No. I rejected the.
You didn't even do the music, dun na na na. Like you need to flip a coin on that one.
Wow.
Come on, man.
Oh. Well, this
you
is the time of the show.
Hey, let me just add another one. Never mind the surgery, not a pain reliever. You're like, let me just ask some more.
Just ask some more.
I love my kids, but come on.
You need about 10 more. I don't think you're. I don't think you have a full football team, right?
No, I don't have three.
Okay, you don't even have a full. You don't even have a full basketball team. You know?
No, three is a lot. I have two little girls. My daughter, she's into this Roblox thing, and she's on my ass every 5 minutes. She's like, Daddy, I need you to get more money. We need more Roblox. I'm like, I just bought you money. I charged my car one time. They charged my car six times. I'm still going through Cash App talking about, like, hey, y'all charged my car. My daughter's like, I need my Roblox. So I'm telling you, it's for real. On that note, I land my plane.
Yeah, but you could still afford like five more kids, right?
Oh, no, I can't help with nothing.
I'm just messing with
you, buddy. Everybody's always playing. One love came out of the sky. That little bus from God.
And then what happened?
Pastor John, have you been drinking the Jesus juice today?
Oh, no, ma'am. I'm actually eating right now.
I didn't know. You sound very chill. I didn't know. You know, I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm very chill. Yeah, I'm chilling.
Yep. Even Jesus needs a little sip every now and then, right?
Come on now. And you know, I'm not on war mode. Everything was good yesterday, Father's Day. You know.
I know. You're good.
Where's Hammer?
He's right here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his
phone? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's one of those days, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What's today, Monday? Wow.
There we go.
I lost track of it.
You walked into that. It's the beginning of the week? Holy crap, it sounds like a Thursday.
I know, it feels like... No kidding. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad it's Juneteenth. I didn't get any benefit out of it, but, you know.
The problem is you need to do arm circles in reverse.
Yeah.
Money will magically start raining down from the sky.
I am ready for that. I sure am. Who wouldn't be, right?
True. This is part of the show where we have judge and jury. Going back to the original idea about diversity.
This man went running.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I'm doing. Trust me. But let's listen to this. This person says, let's stop talking about diversity and start working to equality or equity. I think she meant equality. Is it equity?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, let me put on my
equality, glasses. I think.
Let me put on these thing called glasses.
Doesn't
I don't know what I use.
Equity have to do with money, right?
Yes, it does. Equity. It is equity. Yes. It has to do with money.
Really?
Finance.
Equity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, her name is Paloma. I probably think it's Paloma. Medina.
Paloma.
And it's about... It's about 6 minutes. So listen to it, because she may have my argument. Because I think there's a point where we are pulling up too many people, and then we're not moving forward, but we're sinking back. And I'm talking about, and we could put it into the modern world as transgenders. Gay,
hi, brother. I'm doing arm circles right now.
Here we go. Let's let her... What I'm going to do is I'm going to mute everybody for just 6 minutes so you can hear this. Here we go. This is going to be interesting. And see if you agree with her. Don't go away. I'm just muting. There you go. Here we go. And tell me if you agree with her or you don't. It's a discussion. And I think she's proven my point here.
So I'm here, to try to convince you to stop talking about diversity. Just stop. So I wanna convince you to stop talking about diversity because one, the word is misguiding us, and two, we don't actually care about it. Our brains don't care about it. So let me explain, those of you who are like, hold up. So we know that about 99.9-ish percentage of us have some level of ethnocentrism or some other kind of unconscious prejudice towards people who are different than us. So that's like all of us here in this room.
If I told you that there was a tried and true method that would help you land a TEDx talk in the next 30 days, would you do it? Would you put yourself out there? Would you feel the...
Before you start getting defensive on me and you're just like, I don't know, maybe that... Hold up. It is you. And it's you. But hold up. No judgment, because these unconscious biases, they make sense in that they're in our old limbic brain. And this part of the brain evolved back in cave people days. And back in those days, if you were out and about and you ran into someone who looks different than you, so we say, that would have been cause for concern. Like, who's this? I don't know you. Where'd you come from? Don't take my food. Right? It would have been very, very concerning. But now we have a very modern world. We interact with people all the time who act different than us, look different than us. That's normal. But our limbic brain is still catching up. It's still wired to equate outsiders with a threat to our own survival. So it means that even if our mouths are saying, we want diversity in our workplace, we want a diverse workplace, that's all well and good. Our limbic system is saying, please not too diverse, please not too diverse, please not too diverse. Right? Okay. So, now, on the other hand, there's equity. Equity, our brain is wired to care about. So by equity, I mean being treated fairly, equality. And there are important differences between equity and equality. However, we have reached neither in most of our industries and our communities. So for this talk, I'm going to use equity. But the question I got really excited about was, what does our brain think about equity? Well, one of my favorite studies involved two monkeys that were placed in cages side by side, and these monkeys could see each other. They were taught a trick, and when they did the trick, they would get a cucumber piece as a reward. And the monkeys were very happy with this. Super great. In phase two of the study, they switched things up, and when one of the monkeys did the trick as before, this time she got a grape. And monkeys love fruit, so this was definitely a way better reward than the cucumber. Super good for this monkey. The other monkey, when she did the trick in phase two, she still got a cucumber. So this was repeated again and again, so that the monkey, the cucumber monkey, she could see that she was doing the same trick, but getting the crappier reward. Let's pause there. If you were doing the same task as someone else, and you were getting a crappier reward, how would you be feeling right now? Tell me. All of your voices drop. What? Yeah, I'd be so pissed. Here's what the monkey did. That's validating, right? That's validating.
All right, I know where she's going with this. Okay, we got precious time. She's going to drag that out for a little bit. Basically, we got to talk about this. We do. How do you feel, because it's coming, how do you feel about transgender rights? Oh, I'm sorry, I blocked you guys. How does it feel about transgender rights? Meaning that, let's do it in a formative action program here. Let's just say there should be so many, now that we're changing and they're socially acceptable, and there's certain laws to protect trans, it's only a matter of time, and I'm using them, not picking on them, but right now they're in the news. It's only a certain period of time where it will be an affirmative action program to enlist transgenders into the workplace.
Now, stop lying.
It's true. It's true. But
who
how do you feel?
Stuff?
Oh, I'm sorry. I needed to say more words than that.
But how do you?
Hey!
Huh?
Sorry. I'm telling him
okay.
that. I'm telling him not to tease the dog.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But diversity is okay. I can't wrap my head around it. Like I said, I went to school, had to compete.
Diversity
went
of
to college.
What?
Well, we're talking about people now. We're talking about groups.
Oh.
We're talking about sexuality now. The diversity
what
about
sport,
my
what sport are you good at?
Ping pong. I was the champion.
All right, and I'm good at Mario. You think you and me can sit down and have a conversation?
No, because I would hit you with my paddle.
And I would fucking jump over you like a turtle and jump on your head.
And this is why we don't sit down and meet with each other. The violence
you,
will occur.
How are you going to walk into that cave knowing what's going to happen? And you're just like, yeah, no, I'll just say something ridiculous.
That's what I do. But I think, we should be beyond this diversity bullshit. And
yeah.
I go back with the film with he's not a good friend, but a friend of mine, Richard Dreyfuss, is complaining about the Academy Awards are changing the rules now so they can allow a lot more diversity in the Academy Awards for winning an Oscar. And he came out and said it out loud. He said, you know, this is fucking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do we have to bend over backwards to allow subpar work, or why can't we just judge people for the talent that they have and blah, blah, blah? It should be simple like that. I mean, it should be simple.
You're talking about merit there, guy.
It's
yeah.
Not simple,
if you do something successfully and you have a good merit and you succeed, you outshine other people doing the same thing you're doing, yes, sir. Absolutely, you should be celebrated. But we don't do that anymore because everything is emotional and ridiculous.
And that's my point. And yes, Melissa, you had a good point. I didn't hear you, kiddo.
Oh, no, that's okay. I forgot it already.
You said it. Go ahead.
No, I just want to know how many people want me to be Mario and jump on this guy's head. You know, if we could make that happen.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
just
so far in a different direction.
Yeah.
And it's really weird. But then we were losing a lot of our humanity.
That is true.
You think
that
this is going to change us losing our?
I agree with
no.
Melissa.
Huh. No, no.
I
Josh, I
okay, Melissa. I'm sorry.
That.
I'll be quiet. I'm sorry.
No, no,
no. I'm going to be quiet for like 5 minutes.
I totally agree with you. Is this going to change it? No, because it almost seems like a joke. It just doesn't even
but
seem
you, but
real or right.
I hear you. Like it's a fuzzy. It's a gray line.
Yeah.
The fuzzy gray line is the norm now. And it's a fuzzy gray line. I agree. It kind of is a joke. It is
can
strange. Yes,
can I
Josh.
Toss something into the fray?
Sure. Toss
yeah.
something into the fray.
Bad okay. ideas. Bad ideas don't try to take everything at every time. Like if a bad idea comes to the fore, it has nothing to do with completely destroying everything. It just backs normalcy towards that cliff 1 inch at a time. And they've been doing this since like the 60s or 70s. And we're right now, right here. Our heel is on the cliff. We're about to fall over the cliff. You know, and I'm more than happy to be sarcastic about this, but Jesus, people. It would be awesome if we stopped being terrible people and we actually had some kind of coalition of people who aren't terrible. I don't care if we agree with each other. We're never going to do that. That has nothing to do with humanity. But we can agree on the things that we don't want to happen. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that fair? Everyone agree on that?
Yeah.
We won't agree on everything.
We're all on board. Yep.
Yep, teamwork.
What do you think, Pastor John?
I was on mute. I was talking, and I think we have to work together to change the narrative of society because we are all serious about our business, products, services, and brands. The only way we can change the narrative of society is by working together. That's what I think.
Yes, sir. You're a pastor of what sect? What denomination?
I'm the I don't have a denomination, man. I've been pastor.
A non-denominational pastor.
100%.
Okay, God bless you, sir. No, I was just asking. God bless you.
Bro, you don't want to have Lord or me. I'm very well educated, very well knowledgeable, but at the end. Sometimes I say it's a final wall, but I was called up to this stage. Now I'm here. I'm not coming to break, destroy anything. I want to impart and empower. And that's it. Simple.
Those are good things.
I appreciate you.
Okay. Yeah.
Amen.
I agree. Especially the empower thing. That's a good thing. That's good. That's a good thing. Absolutely. Yeah, the world has gone crazy, at least in this country, it has. It really has.
Oh, that's global.
Well, we're never going to agree on a lot of things, but we have lost our rules, our formula, the way we function in society. We have none. We don't have any, whether you like them or not, but at least we have some kind of structure, whether it's the Bible, whether it's the Ten Commandments, at least it was some kind of structure. Thou shalt not steal.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not covet the neighbor's wife with your sperm. I added that so I could be saved.
Yeah, that's not what that says.
I know. You read your own Bible.
You threw a Hail Mary there. Yeah.
I did. But we're never going to all agree, but we need some kind of structure. We need to know where we're going. We need to move forward. But bringing people from the death to where we could be in the name of let's be equal and treat everybody and let's accept everything to our level. But we need to move past our level to make society a functional place instead of pulling people from our bootstraps and say, there are people you're never going to accept. Transgenders, I'm sorry. I do not see a world where the majority of the people, especially religious people, are going to open up their arms and say, here you go. But it doesn't mean
you sound
that
like
you
you're coming from the world 2500 right now.
I'm trying. But it does not mean
no,
that
you're
don't
right,
have
sir.
To.
You are right. I'm sorry. I didn't be cloaked like that, but he is right. I'm a full-time pastor. That's what I do. When I wake up, I pray for people. There's no way in the world. No, I cannot, shall not, will not. On that note, I land my plane. No.
I'm more than happy to give credence and appreciation and even dignity. I'm more than happy to apply that to everybody that I meet. I'm not going to celebrate and indulge in their delusions. I'd rather die. So. That's the world I live in right now. And that's what's being celebrated right now.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's very funny. I'm laughing.
No, that's fine. Go ahead and laugh. But there's nothing sweet about doing what we're doing to people. No, I've got nothing for them. No, I'm going to tell you you're wrong, and I'm going to walk away.
But and nobody's inciting violence here. Nobody's saying anything about violence here. It's something that you accept or you don't accept. And I will equate this what happened with Denny's. There used to be, I think Denny's was, there used to be a restaurant called Denny's. I don't know if you guys know what Denny's is. I'm in California. There's Denny's all around. You guys ever heard of Denny's?
It's still a national chain.
Oh, okay.
It's still all over the place. There are thousands of them.
What was the original name? It was really racist. I forgot the original name of Denny's. I forgot the original name. But it was kind of racist. But here's the deal. We
Sambo's.
Knew Denny was racist. Sambo's. My God, Melissa, you're great. Thank you so much, kiddo.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
No, you're great.
Did y'all even read that story?
Sambo?
No.
What story?
Yeah, it's Uncle Tom's Cabin from the 1800s.
Little Black Sambo?
Everybody.
Yeah.
No.
I'm sure your parents read it to you as a story for
My
you to go to sleep.
My parents read it to me.
Ah.
I was born in Guam.
I know you're born.
You think
Guam.
We had that in Guam? Think we had that in the middle of the ocean?
Well, let me go a little further. I understand, Josh, and I'm going to give you another reason to say I'm wrong. So I got to keep feeding you. So Denny's was the most racist piece of shit not the most racist, the other racist, but it was racist. Okay, it was racist.
The Democrats still exist, but go on.
Okay. So, and I was part of that racism. I remember I couldn't even get a seat, and they did seat me. They would seat me right by either the bathroom or the dishwasher, I swear. And the food took hours. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, okay, African-American people got upset. Somebody said, you know what, this is wrong. And another African person said, yo, you're right, man. And then another black person said, yeah, damn right. And another black person said, damn straight. Another black person, we got to do something. Okay, so they picketed Denny's. Unfair, racist, segregation, what have you. Anything you could throw at them, right? Denny's didn't want us. They didn't want us. They didn't want us to eat there. And I'm thinking, am I the only black guy that says, if you don't want us, why am I giving you your dollars? Fuck you. I'm going somewhere else. But forget me. I'm not part of this story. So what I'm trying to say is, so after picketing, after protesting, whatever, Denny's relented. Okay, y'all, you can come and eat. I'm not going to go eat there. We already know what you're about. We don't know what you're going to do with our food. We don't know you're going to spit in it, piss in it, whatever you want to. Just because the law says that, you know, that segregation is against the law, we have to let the black people in, and all of a sudden you said, okay, we got to let the black people in, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't mean that you're not going to retaliate. I'm the first one that says, let's just wait a little bit. Let's wait until it cools down a little bit. They don't want us there. And so I'm saying the same thing with the transgenders and everything. We took a little poll here, is that maybe you're not accepted, but you could do your own church. You could do your own school, private school, whatever. And that's what the African-Americans did, and that's what the Catholics did, and that's what the Jewish did, and everything. They got their own private school. They got to this and got to this. And I don't know if you've been watching the news, but there's been a big controversy about the gay nuns who call themselves sisters.
That's not what they are.
I knew it. These people are gay. They dress up as nuns. Go ahead. Tell me, Josh.
Yes.
Tell me.
They're a bunch of gay guys and whatever transvestites that dress up like nuns to insult the Catholic Church. They call themselves
exactly.
The Sister of Indulgence.
Sister of Perpetual Indulgence. The Sisters are Perpetual Indulgence. And, so they're basically mocking the Catholic Church.
Yes.
Basically mocking it. And the LGBTQ community welcomes it. In fact, they put them as some kind of heroes.
Because they're freaking heathens.
But, okay, well, let's tone it down a little bit. Okay, but what I'm
saying, I would love to, but I'm not going to be. You know what? I'm more than happy to treat people how they treat me.
Right. But if this is a good idea,
so I'm not going to.
No, I hear you. I hear you. But remember, you got to be more diverse than that, Mister.
Diverse
and more acceptance. Yeah, you got to allow diversity into your life.
What?
you got to allow certain things in your life now and accept certain things and welcome them. Surround them with love and put your arms around them, even if they have a beard and a heart on. You still got to recognize her as a woman.
So become a suicide bomber is what you're – I'm just messing with you. Okay, I was wrong, but I was also right.
Colloquially. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, I know.
Whoa,
I'm sorry. That was freaking hilarious.
Hold on. Hi, sweetheart.
Hi.
Oh my God, you scared me.
That was freaking hilarious.
Oh baby. Hi, sweetheart.
I wasn't trying. I'm sorry. Did I wake up your kid?
Hi, Raven. Okay, what I'm going to do
I wasn't trying to wake up your kid there, buddy.
I know.
I thought that was going to be the most outlandish thing I could say. And
yeah. No, she came after me like when you mentioned the bomber, she just came right after me. It's like it fell right in the same thing. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a little break. There's 904 in there. Melissa, are you still here? Hi, sweetheart. Are you still here, Melissa? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Melissa, would you like to take over regarding diversity for about 5 minutes?
No, I'm sorry about your kid, bud. I'm not kidding.
Let's go.
Okay. Melissa will now take over.
Okay.
905, you're live on the air with Melissa. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Oh, Josh, it's Pat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Same thing about Canada?
Oh, I'm more than happy to say anything about Canada. We should have dominated that country in 1812.
Are you kidding? We kicked your ass.
You didn't kick our ass. You sent the
yes,
English
we did.
Soldiers
that's
in
why
to
you're
burn
not
down
here.
Our capital.
What?
Oh, you send 5,000, nah. You built all of your major population centers within 50 miles of our border. Why is that? Now?
Yeah, because the climate, honey. The climate.
Oh, the climate, not the protection of being next to America. It has nothing
hell
to do.
Hell no.
Yes. Are you telling me that the Norwegians, all the Scandinavian countries can build high population centers north of where you are?
We don't care about them. We care about us.
I'm just messing with you, ma'am. I'm not trying to be hostile. I'm being sarcastic.
Of course, the Quebecers can all live up north. They can do that.
It's because they're French and useless?
Oh, it's because they're ignorant as fuck.
I know. I'm Irish. I agree with you.
Oh, yes. My husband said they're very special. They think they
you're
have
talking
special...
about Down syndrome, a little bit of an extra chromosome. Yes, ma'am.
You guys, really, I have French-Canadian relatives, right? So
okay.
You get all puffy. You listen to me.
They're trying to change our constitution,
you
Melissa.
Puffy. Listen, you got all puffy when somebody mentioned Canada, but then you're going to say all French people are stupid.
Listen.
When
no,
we
went
I
up
would
there,
say that's any,
no,
I'm Irish.
To me, when we went
okay,
up there, they will refuse to speak English to you. Absolutely. They will not
but
have English signs. There's a law against it now.
Come on.
I am serious. There is a law that there is no
can
English
signs. Can I intervene?
You made a broad, you painted a broad statement with a big brush. And I
yes.
Yeah, but. There's
I'm,
been
I'm
a
being sarcastic.
Kind of a social war going on for a long time.
Oh, come on, guys.
They literally do not like the Franco people. They don't. They don't.
Yeah, okay. No, I say that sarcastically because I'm American. We don't actually care what happens in Canada. You guys are basically our... Yeah, you have a huge portion of our lumber market, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we don't.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are gonna do what you're gonna do up there. You know, I make fun
yeah.
of the French because I'm Irish.
Oh, you do because
and
I'm Canadian.
I'll do the same thing to the English.
But it's amazing.
You know?
That's amazing, you guys. What about this? I didn't realize that. I've heard
what?
This before. I've heard it within my family before. I've heard it. The French people were stupid.
They were trying to change our constitution to their benefit.
Uh-huh.
I know they come
here and spend a lot of money over the summer. They love it. They really do.
Really?
Oh, you should see Niagara Falls right
here.
Now. Holy shit, Niagara Falls is...
Yeah, it's really not a hill to die on, guys. Can we be civil? Let's just talk about funny things like what's happening in France right now. I'm just messing with you.
No, I don't want to talk about them.
I know, but I'm just saying, it's okay. We have enough problems over here in the Western world and America and Canada. It's all good. When what's happening overseas affects my gas dollars, then I will be more than happy to talk about it. But it cost me a short ton of money to fill my tank. So, yeah, we should probably
dabble
in that nonsense.
Everybody's having problems with that.
I just thought I think that people – I don't know. I have this idea where people that are at least looking for answers should at least come together a little bit, you know. Whether or not we agree with each other, we should at least come together a little bit. And I think we should focus on solutions instead of being a-holes towards each other. I don't know. That's weird to me. I don't understand why.
We would like the solution up here, but we don't have one because they're really jerks. They really
excuse
are
me, folks,
the
is Brian there?
I'm sorry?
Is Brian there?
No.
This is Sarge here. How you doing, folks?
Sarge, you took a break.
Hi.
He'll be right back.
Oh, well, that's okay. Who's in charge? You in charge?
I am.
Melissa,
yeah. Okay. Good, George. Got it.
And if you don't behave yourself, you're out of here, Sarge.
Oh, I'm not going to behave myself, so I might as well go.
That's
not me. I ain't capable of doing that. But look, I took a look at the title, and I said to myself, wait a minute, diversity is bullshit. Now, this is something that I've been thinking about for a while, and I used to think diversity was bullshit, but you know what? I don't think that anymore. It definitely ain't bullshit. I'll tell you why. Because it is divisive, it is destructive, it is corrosive, it is corruptive when it is done for its own sake, when it becomes a sort of religion to be worshipped, heedless and irregardless of other factors that are infinitely more important. Yes, that's what it is. It ain't bullshit. It's the kind of thing that undermines civilizations and societies. There's no doubt about it.
And why is that no longer bullshit?
Because I think bullshit is something, you say something's bullshit like when a train is late or an aircraft is delayed. Oh, this is bullshit. This is infinitely worse than bullshit. Diversity is infinitely more destructive than bullshit. Bullshit at least fertilizes things and makes things grow.
Why don't you say that?
So it's worse than bullshit.
Infinitely worse. When it's done for its own sake.
Well, we have diversity here, but nobody cares what color you are. If that makes any difference, we're not racist.
Well, no, that isn't the point of diversity. Not the modern form of diversity.
From the U.S. standpoint, maybe, by
progressive Marxist philosophy. That's why it's so divisive and destructive. Diversity can be a strength, but the way it's being managed today, no, it isn't. It is exactly the opposite. It breeds divisiveness. It invites divisiveness because it's founded on dialectical materialism, ultimately. And dialectical materialism always leads to class conflict and warfare and strife.
Okay, well, Serge, I hate to disagree with you, but I don't think we have that problem here.
Well, you talking about Canada?
Yep.
Oh, please, Canada is possibly the ultimate paragon of diversity gone amok. But it's not real. But in Canada, I don't think the problem is, I mean, look, I'm not Canadian, but I do know a little bit about a Canadian history, and there's a French-Anglo schism in Canada that comes out of nationalism, essentially.
Oh, I know. We
and that's what makes it so bad.
That. We were just
talking
about that.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different there in Canada because it is based on nationalism. In the United States, we got a different philosophy officially. Our motto in the United States is E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. That was never the case in Canada.
No.
Hey, Serge.
Yeah.
Hey, do you wish the best for your fellow man?
Depends on who that fellow man is.
And you say
you I don't have a blanket like or love for people. I judge people as they behave and groups as they behave. And that's
all
how
right.
I make the base whether or not
all
I'm
right.
going to wish them
all
goodwill.
All right, I'm gonna take your own stuff. E Pluribus Unum, do you wish fell for your own neighboring countrymen?
Yes, as a general rule, of course I do. But there's some
okay.
people to whom, undoubtedly, who are deliberately set upon doing me and others harm. No, I don't wish them goodwill. In fact, I wish to stop them and do what must be done to prevent them from initiating any further destruction. It depends on who they are. I'm not Jesus Christ,
no,
and I never will be.
No, sir, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about if you have well wishes for your fellow countrymen.
As a general principle, I will concede, yes, I do.
Okay.
As a principle.
God bless you,
but not
sir.
In every specific.
No, I'm never worried about any specific situation. That's when we get into the weeds. I'm talking about as a general understanding between men.
Well, then obviously, yes, of course. That is the best way to go about dealing with your fellow human beings, assuming they're people of goodwill until you know otherwise.
Okay. Yes, sir. I agree with you. God bless.
But see, that's the problem with this diversity thing. See, the diversity thing demands that you accept everybody, and you're not supposed to look at the individuals as individuals. You're supposed to accept them all as a great big blanket, you know, conglomerate of hive-like human beings. I'm not going to do that.
You're telling me that a black person in Baltimore, Maryland, and a white person in Idaho, Boise, Idaho, you're telling me that one of them being treated differently for the same crime is wrong?
Well, we always treat people differently for the same crime. There's such a thing as recidivism. We don't treat three-time losers the same things as we do first offenders. Again, give me the circumstances.
Yeah, but that came up more
person
so
in Idaho,
California
and give me the circumstances of the person in Baltimore, and I can give you an answer.
Well, that actually came up more so in California than any other state. They have the three-strike rule. That doesn't appear in
exactly.
any other
states. We do treat people differentially based upon their record. We don't treat first-time offenders severely as we do recidivist offenders.
I know, buddy. I'm saying I never mentioned California. I mentioned Maryland and Idaho.
That doesn't matter where the jurisdiction is. They all pretty much have the same philosophy.
I just told you that they didn't because I mentioned California's legal process.
Well, California's crazy anyway, but look, California's legal problems are that they won't enforce civil order. That's their main problem right now. They're insane over
there. I don't
disagree
with that.
They're demented. I mean, to take California's example for anything is really counterproductive from the beginning. San Francisco,
yeah.
Oakland, Los Angeles, please.
I didn't bring up California. I agree with you that they're process is ridiculous, and that's why people are fleeing there, like North Korea. I'm saying that.
But I do believe, let's put it this way, I believe people who are similarly situated should be treated just about the same under the law. If you are similarly situated to another person in a particular jurisdiction, because laws do vary amongst jurisdictions, if you're similarly situated in your circumstance before the bar of justice, you should be treated equally. Now, that I do agree with.
Yep.
Okay, sir. I have no disagreement with that at all. No, that's a fair assessment.
But again, that's why I say everything is circumstance dependent. It's not, you know, you just can't apply these blanket rules to, at least not under our system of justice. You're not supposed to do that.
I know. Well, we have a unique way of doing things here in America where there are 50 different jurisdictions. If you add our territories, we have another 6.
Yep.
Yeah, we have a plethora, like a ridiculously large amount of laws. And if you cross across a border, laws change, and it's astonishing as to how we handle ourselves here.
Well, in a way, I think this is called federalism, and I think that's why Utah is not like California, and Georgia is not like Massachusetts, and Massachusetts is not like Texas. And I don't think it's a bad thing. People can find the place that's most hospitable to their philosophies, viewpoints, hopes, and aspirations. I think it's a good thing.
Yes, sir. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I am so happy that this is not one thing coming out of some city in the 3 states, you know, Washington, D.C. I never want to go there because it's so crime-ridden.
Exactly.
I don't want to go there. Yeah, it's a terrible place to be. I'm saying
I put my life on the line for the people of Chicago and Illinois, and I fled it because it became like
My brother, I am from Chicago,
and now
Illinois.
It's completed the process.
I'm from Chicago.
You and me both. Well, you know, remember the Magnificent Mile and the lakefront? Well, it used to be beautiful.
Until they turned that into a horror movie?
Yes, dystopian hellscape. Literally, that's what it's becoming.
40
yeah. people no, shot I, over I, the week in Chicago. 40 people shot.
Oh,
and that's what I'm talking about there, bud. That's exactly what I'm talking about, is that there needs to be some kind of continuity between states. Yeah, there needs to be coalitions. There needs to be states agreeing with states to deal with stuff. Oh, that stuff. No, you threw that at me. No, that's a curveball. I'm just.
Well, the reason states can agree on some things when they have things that they have in common, like the driver's licenses compact. Now, every state recognizes everybody.
They started giving those to illegal aliens
everybody.
There, bud.
Well, that's another story. But, you know, the states recognize, every other state recognizes every other state's validly issued driver's license. But they also go a step further. They form a thing they call compacts, wherein they will agree to accept their licenses as bail. You know, which normally
you
wouldn't be
that,
the case without compact.
Do you know, and I'm happy if anybody wants to fact check me on this, but I'm pretty certain. Illinois is the only state in the country that will not accept a foreign licensure or permission to use firearms if they come to Illinois. Illinois is accepted by like 8 other states, but nobody is accepted by Illinois. This is Weimark. Illinois is Weimark.
It's bad. That's why I left. And I literally put my life on the line for the people of Illinois for 23 years. And that's why I had to leave. I couldn't believe what it's turning
yes,
into.
Yes, sir. What state did you end up in? I don't want to know your home address, but
Georgia.
What state did you end up in?
Georgia. And it's getting bad. It's getting
oh,
to be bad. Starting.
Yeah, I know, but. But Georgia has the same problem that Illinois has, where you have one major population center, so they end
yep.
up dictating the results.
Yep. Atlanta and Chicago. You got it? Exactly.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Exactly. And that's the case throughout the country. Most of the country is actually a red state, but you have these large population centers of blue philosophies that just ruin the rest of the state. It's over. You see it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And people like we're not supposed to notice it. Oh, that's too divisive if you mention that. No, it's the truth. It's the truth. I mean,
well,
take
buddy,
away
how
the,
dare you,
the
how
crime
dare
and the
you
violence
lie,
the big
How
city.
Dare you lie and tell the truth?
I know. If you take away the homicide, violent crime rate in the big cities, and you say it was roughly, even approximately, even like 25% more than most of the rest of the surrounding areas in the states, we'd have a lower crime rate than many of the countries in Europe that they talk about we got to be more like.
I know if you did that in Idaho, it would be basically Liechtenstein. If you took out Boise's crime rate, yeah, it'd be Liechtenstein.
Same thing with Arkansas. Without you take away Little Rock, Arkansas wouldn't have a high crime rate like it does. Same thing with Illinois. Take away Cook County and Chicago, crime rate is infinitely lower. If it was the same as the rest of the state, Illinois wouldn't have a crime problem of any significance.
Do you know how many city council leaders, like dozens of counties, came together trying to make a separation south of Kankakee to make Chicago and the northern part of Illinois its own state?
Oh, I know.
We don't want to be a part of them anymore. And then you had all these idiots coming out and like, oh, you know, we bring in all the business. And it's like, no, do you know, because it's in Champaign, Illinois, the University of Illinois. That's the Silicon Valley of the Plains, you know. And we have our agriculture and our vet tech stuff and all of our nonsense here. Oh, buddy.
Well, I remember one thing about the University of Illinois when I was working in Chicago and Cook County. Now, they had an excellent police department. The University of Illinois in Chicago had an excellent police department. They were located in a pretty high crime area, and they were very busy. They were very proactive. They kept the crime rate down. They worked very well with the Chicago Police Department and other jurisdictions. They kept the crime down. They made major busts. They were an actual working police department. But then when they started to go more
okay,
and more.
Okay, what year was this?
This is like in the 1990s, early 1990s, mid-90s.
Okay, back before everything was
before they went woke and went insane. And then when the new chancellors got in with the woke doctrine, they pulled them, put the chokehold on them and the rain on them, and now the crime rate in and around the campus at U of I is just skyrocketed to the roof, and you're not supposed to notice. You're not supposed to notice. You're not supposed to say anything. They'll shut you up. They'll fence you. They'll, you know, stifle you. You're not supposed to notice this. It's the most astonishing thing, this censorship and this repression. It's beyond. It's really bad in Canada. Now, in Canada, man, it's like official. And here it's kind of like done by, you know, corporate interests, and sometimes it's kind of a sub-rosa alliance between government and big business and, you know, social media. But in Canada, it's out in the open, man. They'll lock you up and put you in jail. I saw what they did. This one father who objected to his daughter being transitioned.
In Vancouver.
And they literally put him in jail. They literally put him in jail for not using the right pronouns. Literally.
Yes, sir.
It is literally a crime.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
This is out-and-out fascism. We're witnessing everywhere. You know, it's all in the name of diversity.
Oh, I know. And, you know, we had that conversation before where most Canadians are like, America, help us, you know. It's like, help us, we're in Vancouver. Help us, we're in Toronto. Help us, we're in, like, Montreal. It's like, yeah, I would love to, but we have our own problems here. Do you want me to clean my house before I clean yours?
Like I said, all of this social engineering, they put as their shield and their masthead diversity, diversity, the paramount supreme value over and above all of this, over objective transcendent truth, over conventional morality, over timeless principles, over scientific method, over linear reasoning, over everything. Diversity is our most important value. Worship it. Adore it. Genuflect toward it.
You're telling me that you can tell me what a woman is?
I saw that documentary. That was so beautiful.
That was actually
yes,
really
I
fun,
can.
Yeah.
A woman is an adult female human being who often exhibits secondary and primary sexual characteristics associated with being female, and incidentally has two XX chromosomes to boot in 99.95% of the cells in their body. That's what a woman is. Now, that was until just 15 seconds
just
ago
the
definition
out,
of a woman
just,
for all time.
No, sir. Time out. Just acknowledge that you threw a bunch of asterisks in there.
Okay, maybe I ought to go ask Kentaji Jackson Brown. Maybe she can fill me in on.
She's not a biologist.
She ought to know. I mean, she's got all them degrees and whatnot.
That's the funniest thing is that people, you know, these degrees, people are doctors and lawyers and all this. They have like 10 years in academia, and they are completely ridiculous.
Well, that's where diversity sets in. Hello, Sarge. Thank you, Josh. And thank
Brian,
you,
we've been having a great conversation, Brian. I wish
I know.
You'd be here to get in.
No, I was there.
Yeah,
I was
Brian, where,
to you guys.
Where were you? You're over there being an adult, taking responsibility for your life.
I am being an adult, taking responsibility, and
I mean,
loving my grandchildren.
I mean, the first thing I did when I got on here was I asked, where is Brian? Where is he? I can't believe Brian is entitled to a program like this, because Brian is challenging the very foundation of our modern ethos today. You're not supposed to do that.
He did. But he was here in spirit. Don't forget.
Thank you.
I got to admit, I'm a little bit offended. You'll get a letter in the mail.
Well, the biggest difference between men and women is that women menstruate when they're younger. Right.
Okay, she's trying to get sued. I don't know why she's doing this, but
oh,
go
man. We're going to put you down for a hate criminal. You might be a domestic terrorist.
They're going to send you to the gulag. I don't know. Is that up to you? That's not up to you anymore.
Yeah.
Are trans people that say men that go to women, are they pretending to menstruate too?
Yes,
you know
they're freezing tomato sticks, and they're inserting them in their vagina, so when they melt, they can say that they're having a period. I'm not making this up.
Oh,
I
my
God.
Really?
Thing. No, it's actually a trend among the more lunatic of them.
Wow.
If something bad happens,
that's crazy.
There's going to be – if something bad happens – no, this is I don't think people realize and appreciate this fact. If something bad happens, like another conflict – yeah, there's going to be another draft, and we're going to send a bunch of kids. If anybody steps foot on our soil, then, there's no lesbians anymore. There's no transgender people anymore. There's no they-thems anymore. I don't care if you have skinny arms. I'm going to hand you a rifle, and you're going to run into that breach with me.
Man.
But, no, I think
I would see what is a manifest, a patently manifest mental illness being treated as a separate ethnic group worthy of protection from genocide. Genocide being treatment that restores them to a form of mental normalcy. They are claiming that is genocide against transgenders because mentally ill people have a right to exist as mentally ill people without treatment. They are literally saying this.
Yeah, but you don't celebrate the mental illness. You correct them and you help them.
Well,
you
that used to be the case.
Yeah, that used to be the case. You give them lithium if they're schizophrenic. Yeah, you help them. You don't be like, yeah, you definitely hear Adolf Hitler talking to you through the radio, and he's definitely telling you to go kill a bunch of random strangers. Yeah, no, we don't lie. Stop lying. It's not complicated.
We've got a senile old fat statehead in the White House who's now adopted them as a separate ethnic group. He's trying to get civil rights protection for a mental illness, for literally a mental illness. This is the first time I believe in the history of mankind where acknowledged mental illness, or what was formerly acknowledged as a mental illness, is now being taken upon as a protected species worthy of civil rights.
Sarge, that's unfair. Biden is old. I will give you credit for it. But Trump is – this guy's insane. This guy's delusional. This guy's 9 years old, and he's looking for candy. This guy is nuts. There's no possible way that you want this guy who takes top secret information and says it's mine, and not even a government thing, and then hide them from the government, and then
you're
come out and say, I did hide them.
You're talking about the past five
presidents
right now.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay. Brian, now you made a challenge to me now. You know, whenever you do that, Brian, you know I'm going to have to prize you a certain fact you seem to be unaware of. Now you know that. I'm not going to narrate. I'm just going to tell you about the law and the facts and this charge. I've read the indictment. I've read counts 1 to 31, which are violations of 18 United States Code, Section 793E, the Espionage Act, and the rest of the crimes, 31 to 38, are process crimes. That originate out of the original corrupt, illegitimate and rape.
No.
Espionage.
So, I mean, I'm
going
to have to provide you certain facts of which you're probably not aware.
Just pet them nicely.
Well, I'm not going to be nice,
but
I'll be factual about it, though.
I guess I'm
not. I think that they're setting a terrible precedent. I think that this is going to make things a lot worse later on. The Democrats
Oh.
Do things. No, listen, this is actually important to hear. The Democrats do things wholeheartedly, and they dive headfirst into unknown pools.
Okay.
And they...
Yeah,
no,
they
this
do.
Is actually... I know,
they
but
do.
Listen to what happens after the fact.
Back, sir.
They create a scenario...
I don't think Pat's talking to you, Josh. I think she's talking at home.
Sorry, honey.
Sorry?
Sorry, I had two little kids approach me trying to pet my cat, my friend's cat.
Oh, no, ma'am. No, don't worry about it. Hey, you got two little kids. Hey, good on you.
Well, I tell you, look, let's cut to the chase on this. All of this originated as a Presidential Records Act dispute between the archivist and Donald Trump. Nothing new. It's happened before.
That's not what happened.
Nothing new. That's where it originated. But here's the thing. This is what they did. When they transmuted a Presidential Records Act case into a criminal case by taking specific statute that was, and then pretending that a general statute supersedes a specific statute with regard to the disposition of Presidential Records.
None of this
turning
makes
it
sense.
To an Espionage Act case.
None of this makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
I know, that's what I was trying to explain. I'm saying none of it makes sense. The past five presidents over the span of 20-something years, they have all taken stuff, and there is no official way to declassify documents, which means that if the archivist from Washington, D.C. came to Obama or, I don't know, Clinton even, go back to the 90s, there's no reason for him to actually turn anything over because there's no official way to declassify anything. So all a president has to do is close his eye and wish real hard, and it's declassified. It doesn't mean he doesn't have to say it out loud. There's no paperwork. And I think that should be something we should change, obviously. We should make it, if you have this classified document, you should have to at least sign it away to declassify it if you're the leader of the free nation. But we don't have that. So being that we don't have that, they're trying to throw this guy away for 400 years.
Well, they have to do it in a way that doesn't mitigate the authority of the president, because Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution is clear. All executive authority, meaning the authority to declassify, is vested in a president of the United States of America. That means one individual. Only one.
Yes.
Every else's authority in the executive branch devolves from him through the Constitution.
Okay. I love that you said that. Do you think he took those documents from the White House after Biden stepped in office, or do you think he took them while he was in office and was leaving?
He was still president.
Okay, but that's all that it is then. I know that it is stupid. I'm saying that there's no actual way to declassify. They have nothing on paper. There's no way. You become president tomorrow, you blink your eyes hard enough, and you magically declassify something. You take
well, here's the thing,
though.
We do have a ruling by the United States Supreme Court in 1988 called Department of the Navy versus Egan, and they essentially ruled that the power to declassify is plenary for the president. He has just about total authority over what to declassify and the manner in which he does it.
Yes, which means there's no official way to do it, and if he was acting as president at the time that he took those documents, there's no reason to punish him for having documents because he declassified them.
Yes, exactly. But that's not – but remember, you got to remember, this is what's really clever about this indictment, or at least they think it's clever, because here's the thing you got to understand. If you look at Chapter 18, United States Code, Section 793, it allows you to charge a person who is in lawful possession of classified documents, which they are conceding Trump was, but if they have defense information on them and you say they are mishandling that information, then you could charge them with the crime. So that's what they're hanging their hat on. They're already conceding he had lawful possession of them by the very nature
of
the charges.
Do you know why they're walking on eggshells dealing with this? Because Biden is so guilty for doing the same thing. And he is active in the actual White House. When he was a senator and vice president, he had no... Okay, time out. It's actually important to note this, and I'm talking about precedents here. I'm talking about the precedents that these parties are setting for each other. The Democrat Party is now setting a precedent that you can indict somebody of the other political game.
Well, I'll tell you what, here's the thing. You realize that out of all the documents they say that Donald Trump mishandled, that they fill literally less than one office box. You know those cardboard boxes you use for documents in offices? They don't even fill up one box. There's about 162 documents that are in dispute. In Joe Biden's case, there are tens of thousands of them.
I'm not worried
about
this.
But when he was a senator, not even a vice president.
I know. From when he was a senator and a vice president and all these other things. He has over 1,850 boxes. I understand. Nothing is going to happen to him because the people in charge of law enforcement aren't going to apply the law to him because he funds their nonsense. Yeah,
Bingo.
I know. We're saying the same thing.
Brian actually thinks there's some kind of case here that Donald Trump is unique in American presidential history because he wouldn't give the damn things back when they demanded it and didn't even go through the Presidential Records Act process as the law requires. They were short-circuited by the Department of Justice going to a federal magistrate, getting a search.
What happened there?
And submitted
it
arbitration. Had they submitted it to a federal judge for arbitration, a federal judge could very well have ruled that Donald Trump needs to turn those documents back to the archivist, and if he didn't do it, then he could be held guilty of civil contempt. They didn't even do that.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense to me.
There are consequences
for failure to act. There are consequences
for acting inappropriately. And prevent him from running for the presidency. That's all this is. This is East German shit. This is Stasi shit. This
okay,
is
why are
Venezuelan
you not
shit.
Running for
Putin
politics
shit.
Right now?
This is Soviet shit.
You should be the mayor.
And everybody
of
that looks at it knows it.
I'm your head.
No, dude, I agree with you entirely.
He does not, Sarge does not want to be the mayor.
Could he be a dictator of a small country like Canada?
Yeah, well, you got one already. There's going to be competition. You got old Justin going.
No, but that's absolutely correct. Yes, these people are passing the buck along over and over again, and they think that people aren't paying attention. That's why they keep doing it, because they think we're not watching them.
that's the short of it. I mean, anybody thinks this Justice Department case has got any validity is just delusional. Once they read the charging document, which is the indictment, when they read the Supreme Court rulings on the matter, when you look at the precedent and actions of past presidents.
No, that's fair.
Did he drop off?
Elgin, Illinois, and a judge said he had to pay $800,000 to have them sorted through and transferred back to the National Archives because they went through the Presidential Records Act, and they got a ruling from a federal judge, and he was required to pay $800,000 to get those documents back into the National Archives. They didn't try to make raid his warehouse. They didn't go to a federal magistrate and get a subpoena and a search warrant. They went through the Presidential Records Act.
Let me ask you a question. You're saying that a bunch of people are dropping the ball left and right in the federal government and the rest of us are too lazy?
No, they're not dropping the ball.
They're
doing what they've been ordered to do.
No, I know, and the rest of us are
dropping
the ball because we're not paying attention. Come on, bud. I'm on your side here.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm talking about the ones who carried out this atrocity. No, they've been ordered to do this because they're part of the deep state, the fourth branch of the federal government, the deep state bureaucracy that is entrenched and takes its orders from no one that is elected.
And the fourth branch is unelected officials.
Not in all things. They do not take orders from any. They are a self-sustaining governing body outside of the reach of the people and the people elected to oversee and supervise them.
Let me ask. You're saying the fourth branch of the government
the federal
is
government,
unelected
which is the
bodies?
State bureaucracy and all the alphabet agencies. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Unelected bodies. Okay. No, that no, no. I'm
that's
not
exactly what
I'm talking
about. People take a look, Christopher Ray. You know everything you need to know. People like him.
Christopher Reyes?
People like James Clapper and John Brennan.
Okay, you're hurting my feelings right now.
I know, but it needs
just,
to be done.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I know. But look,
I know,
you know what I mean? People that have no idea the depth of this and how entrenched. Because look, that is what they believe. Presidents come and go. We're here forever, and we pass our legacy on to those who will succeed us.
The default position for every American should be mistrust in government. Trust your neighbor more than you trust your politician.
Couldn't agree more, having worked in government myself. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it any better than that.
You better believe it. And you know, it's like what George Washington said. He said it best, government is like fire, a necessary evil, but a fearful master. And he was right. He said something to that effect. I'm not sure I got it right. But government is essential because men are not angels, you know, like they say, like the other mother philosopher said. So you need government to keep people honest. People are going to do what they can do because not everybody's going to be an honest, good neighbor. And, you know, you'd be. I like the libertarian thing myself, but that just doesn't work out in practice. I mean, you get the chop zone like you do in Seattle when you do stuff like that. But you got to keep a constant
terrible.
Eye on it. That's
you need
why,
to say that
that's
loud,
why
that
we
that's
have
terrible.
All this oversight of government.
No, we need to be a lot meaner. No, it needs to go from the ground up. We need to be a little bit more critical ground up of all government. Because, man, if you're governor, the governor of your state is not like, holy crap, can I walk outside of my building? Yeah, if he doesn't have that in his mind every time he comes and goes, we failed as citizens. The mayor of your town should be terrified. Yeah. The senators and state reps. Yeah, dude, we used to run this gambit here. We used to run this game, and we don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know,
why not?
Again. I think, again, that was the brilliance of the framers of the Constitution. They knew they were sinners. They knew since they were sinners and they were imbued with original sin, they knew they had a tendency to be corrupted. So they said, okay, here's a way we can minimize the damage we can do with the corruption. We spread power around. We don't centralize it. That's why you got so much decentralization of power at so many levels in the United States government and all of its entities, federal, state, local. You got all this power is not centralized. You got Congress. It's split into a bicameral house. You got the judiciary. You got the chief executive. They can't do anything without the money they get from Congress and so on and so forth. Then you got states. The federal government isn't doing anything about the border whatsoever. So you got the states that can step in and do something to try to correct it. And a couple of governments are taking at least half-hearted measures to try to stop the invasion on the southern border. But without them, there'd be nothing whatsoever. And their efforts aren't good enough. So we
I just
have
don't
a
think it's a wise
kind of
idea to remove. I just don't think it's a wise idea to remove the capacity right here. I know it's terrible, the capacity for kindness from the equation, because, man, it's really easy to go gung-ho, and I don't think that's going to do anything good for anybody.
Wait a minute, what are you speaking of now? What exactly are you referring to?
Gung-ho, the concept is from the Vietnam War. I don't know.
Yeah,
if I
know.
I, can...
I mean, what exactly, and in regard to what do you think the gung-ho should be cautiously applied?
You know, the end of the French Revolution, right? It wasn't
oh,
just
yeah.
world
peace. Committees on
it
public
was,
safety
the
and
bureaucrat.
The terror and all that stuff, sure.
Yeah, no, I think that I understand if that happens, but I don't want it to be as terrible as it was in France.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, see, I think if we were to do that outside of a – well, you got to remember, when you have a revolution, kind of all bets are off, you know? I mean, it's like
yeah,
the American
buddy,
revolution.
I know. I'm aware of that. I think
yeah.
that if there's a way to introduce a little bit more civility here, I think this is actually the – the platform to make that happen. Because
it's already going to be bad.
If
you talk about war and revolution, all bets are off, so you can't count on
I'm just saying,
you
it's
know,
already
going to
be bad. We
shouldn't make it worse. But I have somebody
but here's
who's
the
been
thing.
Listening
why was
to
the
you
American
guys
Revolution? You got
to
ask yourself, why was the American Revolution, despite, of course, the inevitable atrocities occurring in every armed conflict, why was the American Revolution so less destructive in its after effects than the French Revolution?
Hold on.
Why would anybody ever ask
that question?
Put a cute voice. Okay, you guys are arguing about something that cannot be resolved. And I understand.
No, we're agreeing on a lot.
Huh?
We're not really arguing. We're just...
We're agreeing.
Oh, you're agreeing?
We're agreeing. We're not arguing.
But do
you
Wait a minute.
Sarge, hold on a sec, Sarge. Who came in? Did you say somebody came in to the studio?
No, that was... Belle, my granddaughter, she just wanted to, she's been hearing it. She just wanted to say
hello.
She just asked me.
You guys.
She just asked me, can she say hello?
Okay.
I don't know, Sarge. Sarge, I don't think Trump is going to win the national election. I think he's going to lose.
He will.
I mean, the people who voted for him last time, and he came close, but he's losing. He's not really expanding his base.
No.
And he's losing the people
that
he has.
Not according to the polls I've been looking at. I've been looking at things objectively, and that's not true. You're wrong. I can give you the poll numbers, in fact. I just had
them. Are you giving me the GOP?
I'll hold your hand when he loses.
Okay, look, I'm not saying he's going to win. Brian is saying he's going to lose.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's going to win.
All
I'm saying is what the polls are indicating right now, which they could change. I'm not making any prediction on the outcome of this election, especially given the massive amount of cheating that Democrats do, so I'm not doing it. Brian is the one who said he's going to lose.
The president in
That's why I'm taking exception with what Brian said, not the fact that he said
anybody
can win it.
Well, I'm saying that he's not expanding the base, but he's also losing.
But you're wrong again, according to the polls.
Okay. Okay, but the polls are
as soon as I dig them up, I'll give them to you
Trump,
because I was surprised.
Trump will win again.
My big poll, I'm talking about Rasmussen. I'm talking about Gallup. I'm talking about others. They show he's up, and with the general voting population, 30% of Democrats don't want
to
see him.
Trump's going to win again.
When Stanley used to come in with all the Gallup polls, remember?
Yeah,
remember, 30%, they were the ones who were saying Trump was going to lose. 30% of Democrats don't want Trump to be convicted. 30% of Democrats.
30% of the Democrats do not want him to be convicted?
Convicted.
I don't know, kiddo.
I believe.
Yeah, Trump is going to actually win the next one.
I think we're
tired. I'm not making that prediction, but definitely not going to say he's going to lose like Brian did.
Well, I'm just saying, mathematically, he cannot win if he's.
I can explain why.
Okay, go ahead, Josh.
Yeah,
I'm
please.
Saying the reason that. Okay, so he won because everyone was really angry in 2016. All right,
yeah.
He started in 2015. Everything was terrible. Barack Obama was abysmal. He was probably one of the worst presidents we ever had until Joe Biden.
And he was
Holy
done
crap,
after
this
eight
guy
years.
Has completely
okay,
messed
let's,
everything
let's
up.
Let's go. He was done. He served 8 years. Okay. All right.
I'm sorry?
Keep going. He served 8 years.
Yeah,
so
and ruined the country the whole damn 8 years.
He was a monster.
He was hideous.
Barack Obama was a freaking heathen. Anyway, not going to talk about that. I was saying that...
Like Greece or Rome, they
oh,
thought
he,
they was...
Dude, that guy was a freaking
demon. About the United
He's
States.
Evil.
My president talks like that.
What do you mean?
I mean, that's what he said. He said, the Greeks thought they were special, and the Romans thought they were special, too. I mean, they thought they were really special about the United States. That's what he said in public.
Did Obama firebomb with a – I'm sorry, did he predator drone strike an American citizen in Yemen at a cafe?
Yes.
That happened? Holy crap.
Yes.
He should be charged for war crimes. Oh, why aren't we doing that? Oh, no. Anyway – the reason that Trump is going to win in 2024 is because under Trump's term, we had everything pretty sweet, and then we experienced Biden, and Biden is a freaking imbecile. He is the dumbest person
No, he shut down the Keystone XL pipeline that would have given us crude oil from Canada.
Well, it would have hurt the little birdies.
By lifting the restraint.
It would have hurt the little endangered birdies. I like birdies.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
But the thing about it is, you know, if we had the choice now, you know, there's going to be something that's going to come in the mix. Gavin Newsom. This guy may come into the mix.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
He may come into the mix.
No, you guys need to let me finish what I was saying.
You really want that?
Because it's really, no, Gavin Newsom is a moving target.
No, no, none of that, Brian.
Yeah, he actually fucking is.
Well, he's a tree hugger.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
not trying to be a cruel person, but I'm talking about avoiding the second civil war in America. Gavin Newsom would definitely be the person. Yeah, I know.
Really?
But he would look so sweet. He would be a plastic Ken doll hanging from a rope, and that would be the end of it.
But,
all right. So there's nothing kind about that. That's what he is. He's an imbecile.
No. No, none of that, guys.
No,
none of that.
That's not funny. That's not funny to you.
But
oh my God!
Presidents before.
You guys are vicious.
The problem with Biden is he's a corrupt crat. He's only interested in those people can help maintain his corruption and his grip, and he'll go along with whomever does it.
In this case, it just
happens to be the progressive wing of the party that's pulling his strings. They're putting the words in his mouth. He doesn't believe any of it. He just cares about being protected from the consequences of his
corruption.
Trump
that's
is
all going to
he
be the
cares
next
about.
President of the United States.
He's not ideological at all.
Everybody's ideological. They just have bad... They can't explain themselves.
The eminence grise surrounding his throne are the ones who are ideological. The ones who are pulling us are Susan Rice and Valerie Jarrett and Victoria Nuland and people like that. Those are the people who have the ideology.
Let me finish my point there, bud. The reason that Trump is going to win again in 2024 is there is no Republican that can run against him. Nobody has the record to actually do anything because... He stepped in there. This man walked across the DMZ into North Korea without security and walked back across. That is
That man is
John Wayne.
He's like Christ that walked on water, right?
He did. He literally did it.
Now,
you can make mock it all you want, but he did. He went into North Korea. No Secret Service,
yeah.
No soldier.
You know, we were hot. We were so hot on Mike Pence when he stood over there with his bomber jacket, with his binoculars looking over. It was like, you know, this
guy's
really tough.
The cover. He had the cover on the binoculars. He had to have an aide come over and tell him, Mr. President, you got to take the cover off before you can see through him.
Yes, sir, because he was wearing a bomber jacket. He wasn't a bomber, and he didn't know
how to use
binoculars.
Yeah, he's so cool. Look at all that style.
Trump walked across that line he walked across that line with the dictator, with the person that he's been talking crap with on the interwebs. And he walked over, and he looked around, and he's like, yeah, this is a shithole. And then he walked back, and he didn't die.
He's Trump, man. Nobody but Trump can pull off stuff like that.
I know. That's why I think he's going to win
the
next time.
Oh, my God. The worship is terrible.
Oh, Jesus.
This is like worship.
Are you kidding
me? I know, right? Nobody drinks any more punch.
Did he or didn't he do what
we just said? We have soldiers standing in that room in Panmunjom for a reason. Because when you walk across a dividing line, you literally are in one nation or the other. You're in South Korea or you're in North Korea. That's why there are soldiers armed, standing guard over that line between the table.
And he's so tough that he did it without...
No, I'm not saying he's tough. I'm saying he has balls. Iran did nothing. Russia did nothing. North Korea did nothing. China did nothing.
He did it.
Nobody did anything when he was in office because he might have been a crazy person. That,
well, Trump does have bombs, but they're so, but you know,
having done it, we're saying he did it.
They're so low to the ground
that
it doesn't really matter.
But
there's no time out in there. He's blowing dust.
Time out. I'm not. Time out. This is important to hear. I don't care if my leader is a crazy person. I don't care about that at all. I want the people that are enemies of my country to think he's a freaking lunatic off of the rails at all times.
Yeah. Well, that's what they said about. So, Josh, that's the same argument. Wait, hold on. Josh, that's the same argument they said about Reagan. That's the same argument they said about Reagan. Oh, wait, we got 3 minutes, and we have, we have Miss Oberlin in the room, and she hasn't talked. She's just listening. She didn't have anything to say, but I got some Hollywood news. Bruce Willis is getting worse than he is now. He's getting full-fledged dementia. They're losing his poor bastard, Bruce Willis.
My beautiful Franco-American
and what's going on
family?
With his name? What's going on with Jamie Foxx? There's rumors about
Who
Jamie Foxx.
I don't know.
Am I the only one that doesn't care what's happening to celebrities at all?
Well
I'm curious about this. It's so strange.
It is kind of strange.
I don't care.
Yeah. But given the coincidence with this, with the vaccine and all, I think it is worthy paying attention to in these particular instances.
Because
we're seeing a
care.
Correlation between relatively young and actually young people being afflicted by sudden death syndrome and strokes and heart attacks to a degree I don't think we've ever witnessed before. Including
sudden death syndrome is actually diagnosed in babies, not in old Hollywood people. I don't care what.
And not only that, you got to remember that you go to the CDC website, the vaccine adverse reaction page, and they even talk about it. The only thing they say is, "Oh, but don't worry about it because it's rare."
Melissa wants to say something.
Go ahead, Melissa.
We've had something happen around just in my local area. We've had 6 to 8 fatal car accidents, and they're males in their 50s having heart attacks unexpectedly and hitting other cars.
Wow.
And it's happened many times. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Were they vaccinated?
No idea. But that was after the third one. I'm like, what is going? You know, like I don't know. The one was like 58, and I
said, what is going on?
Yeah.
Young athletes. This is happening to young athletes. Who may identified as being, if anyone is going to have this adverse reaction to a vaccine. It is a young, healthy adult male, and that's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not talking about that. There was that sprinter from the U.S. Olympian team, age 32, that died giving birth. And I think that stuff is kind of mind-blowing.
It's not funny. It's terrifying.
Since we only have a couple of seconds left, you guys know what's happening with Danny Bonaducci, right?
No.
What happened to him?
Okay, Danny Bonaducci was a kid of the Partridge Family. He was a
kid.
Yeah,
the redhead.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he just had brain surgery.
Mm-hmm.
He claims that it was a lot of pressure that was hit upon him, that he did boxing and all this kind of stuff, so the brain was building up pressure. So he had brain surgery. And if you pull up Danny Bonaducci now, you know, in the news, mm-hmm. you will see a different picture of him. He went in healthy. He went in strong. Got a great picture of him when he went in. You should see the picture of him coming out after brain surgery.
Wow,
he
like
looks.
That. I bet.
It's freakish. It is.
Yeah.
It is freakish. Well, it says that he wants to get back to work next week. He plans immediately to shut down by his team who want him to rest and recover after brain surgery. So he wants to get back online. Oh, he looks like age caught up with him. He has a blank look on
his
face like somebody.
He's older.
You see him? Yeah, but if you look at his before picture going in and his after picture after surgery, it's like night and day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not uncommon after brain surgery, though, because your brain literally makes new neural pathways as it heals.
Really?
And you kind of get back to normal, and you actually can get back to normal.
Brian,
wow.
It took
me a year.
Really, really weird looking is, what's his name? Oh, my God, Mickey Rourke. This guy
is
a freak.
Yeah, that's another
one.
Yes, Pat.
He was a good-looking guy until he got all this surgery for some reason. What happened to him?
Yeah, there's something
know.
Happened to him.
He's
Pat.
Old.
Yeah, it took me a year.
Jetpack.
Who just said jetpack?
It took you a year, Pat?
Yeah, pretty well.
Oh, did you have brain surgery?
Like, no, I had a coma with brain damage.
Oh.
Right. And she probably formed new neural pathways that took the connection. The brain can do that and often does.
Why does she sound way smarter than me?
Oh, you need to be quiet.
I'm sorry. I'm just
messing with
you. If your brain gets a second chance to rewire itself, maybe it'll do a better job the second time around.
Wow.
Well, you know what the funny thing is?
No,
I'm
one and
with
done.
No trauma.
I'm done after this.
I woke up with no trauma at all from my past.
See?
Good on you, man.
Personality change.
No personality change.
Maybe
pause
something to the idea of lobotomies making personality changes.
That's
and you became aware of, like, how to make rocket fuel and fuel stuff to, you know, other galaxies.
I've heard of people coming out that had phobias and then they didn't after. You know, of having a head injury. What about?
Well, I've got no sense of hunger either.
What?
I forget to eat all the time.
Yeah.
Wait,
I don't feel hungry and I don't feel full.
What food were you eating before?
Well, just basic stuff. I don't eat well because I just don't look after myself well, you know. But
that'll actually do it.
Yeah,
that
but
will.
I actually forget to eat like quite often, and you know I have
is
to.
That transmissible?
Is that
transmissible?
What?
Can I get a vial of
no,
your blood?
No,
just
I think
put that in me.
I think the brain damage did it.
So jump off a house, think I can fly.
Wow, John. Wow.
No, I know I'm ridiculous when I say that. I just get hit by a lot. I'm trying to get the weight loss secret.
Weight loss secret?
I'm just messing with you. I'm sorry. I did a couple stand-up shows in Chicago. I never learned humility.
That's okay. I didn't either.
Good on you.
I guess it's overrated anyway, right? Humility. It's overrated.
Well, you're not going to learn anything about yourself if you keep apologizing, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I want to thank all you guys for coming in. It was a day off. Sorry I haven't heard your voice.
I love that lady.
Yeah.
That's
it's a pleasure hearing you again.
You've been hiding from me, man. You and your damnable, unpredictable schedule.
I said that to somebody.
Yes. I'm not hiding from you guys. This is I get on when I can. All you have to do is go to blogtalk.com/BrianHammerJackson, hit follow, and it'll give you an alert. I'm trying to make it consistent, but it's rough. You know, I'm writing a script.
How's your help, and how are you feeling? Honestly, that's
100%.
Serious.
Are you kidding me? I feel great. 100%.
I have nothing to do with this, but I am offended for some reason.
You should be. Thank you, Sarge, for asking. Thank you so much.
How long are the little girls going to be there for?
Oh, my little babies?
Yeah.
They should be here. I don't know.
So he's going to be busy. There's a heads up.
It's great to see them. It is so good to see them.
You and your adult
how
responsibilities.
How old are they, Brian?
My adult responsibilities. I know. It gets in the way of everything.
How old are they?
I don't know. 5 and 9.
Oh, my God. She's older than that now.
who
I'm going to say
talking about the most adorable possible stage of their life.
The little
exactly.
one is probably 7 now.
Okay.
No,
I you know what? I take back what I said. I blame you 10%.
She just graduated out of Wait a minute. You might be right, Melissa, because she graduated out of first grade.
See?
So
okay.
But I get to be part of their lives when they go into their other adventures, and as they get older and they start realizing that they hide from the, you know, they hide from everybody except for develop their own life.
Can you do me a favor and teach them charades?
Huh? What?
I say, can you do me a favor and teach them charades?
Yeah, they're doing it right now.
No. That's just the funniest thing. Kids learning how to like make weird facial movements and hand movements. Yeah, no, that's 7 right
fun.
There.
I used to like that as a kid.
They're very talented. They're in a singing stage. They sing so good. While you guys were talking, they were singing Bruno.
They sing better than you?
By far. They sing great. Amazing.
That's just how life goes. You know, you get surpassed by your grandchildren.
Exactly. They sing great. But I want to thank Josh. Here we go. The great Joshua came in here. Joshua came in and moved the conversation forward and
insulting
took over.
Canada. You insulting Canada.
I apologize for all of the people that I've offended, but I'm actually not that sorry.
Sorry.
I know you're not.
I want to thank Josh for coming. It's always fun. And, of course, the lovely worldwide psychic, Pat Oberlin, everybody. She came in, and Pat knows what's going on, and she can let you know. We just let her know she's right most of the time. Right, Pat?
She still hasn't given me those lottery numbers, so, you know.
I don't do lottery numbers.
Have you read Joshua yet? Have you read Josh?
Please do.
Hey, Josh, before we go off the air, do you want to get a – she charges for this, but she might give you a freebie. Do you want to get a tarot card reading?
I don't delve in the dark arts. I'm Catholic.
Oh, my God.
I love that answer. Yes. I'm so sorry.
Dark magic. Ah. Jeez. She's good. Okay, she offered a free one.
Come on. Don't be a weenie.
Exactly.
Did you call me a weenie?
Yes, I agree with Melissa.
You know what you are, lady? You're a fastidio. I found that on a cartoon, and it's a made-up word. It's not actually a word.
I am that.
I want to thank the magnificent Melissa coming in the studio. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for coming
in. You're welcome.
And I want to thank little Sean in the background. It's good to hear his voice again. It's good to hear his voice.
He was so naughty today.
Well, you guys, it's great. I will be on tomorrow. What is tomorrow?
Tuesday.
Yes, Tuesday. I'll be on at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I have a new
challenge accepted.
It's July 10th. I'm going to make up holidays every day.
It's still June.
I don't care. I'm making it up.
At the beginning of time, God gave Adam the ability to name the animals, and there's a reason.
That's me.
Well, we will start making up our own holidays as of tomorrow. Melissa's up first.
Yeah, no. Can I come back tomorrow with a list of holidays? I actually will spend time on this. You know it's not going to be okay. It's up to you, buddy.
No. I mean, we offended everybody, and if we haven't offended them more, I would like you to come in, and then we can make sure we offend those little people that we haven't offended. It would be my pleasure.
I will try my damnedest to offend more people.
Okay.
Okay. Do it.
I still got a little bit of people who haven't offended. We might as well take them out. Okay. You're more than welcome.
Oh, that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, see you guys.
I'm going after
all
the Inuits, by the way.
Huh?
Pardon?
I said I'm going after the Inuits.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, no.
Hey, you guys, have a great day.
They've never done anything to anybody.
Have a great night.
Okay.
All right. God bless everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Y'all.
Bye-bye.